Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Chaz, civil disobedience, civil discord, I take your questions, and so much more here on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, as always, to get your questions possibly read on air, but definitely read as I read every single email, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support, help support our amazing team here on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast live stream so we can give you the news information that you need at charliekirk.com/support. This program is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Fight back against big tech and big brother by securing your data at expressvpn.com/charlie. Chaz, civil disobedience, and so much more. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Stamps.com has saved small businesses all over the country thousands of hours and lots of money. And now you can too. With Stamps.com, you get the services of the post office, UPS, right on your computer, plus big discounts on mailing and shipping rates. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. Wherever you are, Stamps.com is a must-have for any business. Whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out orders, or even a giant warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print out official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail. With Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder why over 900,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. So make 2021 the year you stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with my promo code KIRK, K-I-R-K, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in KIRK. That's right. That's Stamps.com, promo code KIRK. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here, joined again by Isabel Brown.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
You bet. We're going to have some fun today. I'm going to do my best not to completely lose my voice. As the great Rush Limbaugh says, bear with me as I fight through just not trying to lose all my vocal cords. I want to take a step back here. There's a lot of people that are talking about what happened in Washington, D.C. a couple of days ago, 2 days ago, and we were actually here live as it happened. Mm-hmm. I encourage all of you guys to go back in YouTube and watch about how we were reacting in real time. A lot of our predictions actually came true. But a lot of people are now saying on cable television, sedition and insurrection will not be tolerated under any circumstances. I agree with that completely. And now whether what happened on the Capitol is insurrection or sedition will be up for a court or for law enforcement to decide. However, we do have a clear-cut example of insurrection and sedition that happened in just the last 6 months. It wasn't denounced. It was platformed by the left. It wasn't repudiated. It was lifted up. Remember when not a couple dozen people, many of whom were probably professional leftist agitators and very far, far right fringe people that call themselves Trump supporters, but they've never been given that title by anyone except themselves. They're self-described in their own mind. Stormed the Capitol. Remember when there was a new country formed in America? Do you remember when a group of actual insurrectionists did more than go into the capital of the United States for a couple hours and were quickly cleared out? No. Do you remember when a country was formed? This was something that, even according to Don Lemon, hurt Democrats in their polling. I'm, of course, talking about what was, for a short period of time, the 51st state in the Union, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. For those of you that live in Seattle, Washington, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Back in June, after the death of George Floyd, a new country was formed in Seattle called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. The zone was a new country. It was a couple blocks in size. The zone was a self-organized space. This is how Wikipedia describes it. It's so wonderfully and glamorous. Without any official leadership, protesters united behind three main demands. Cut Seattle's $409 police budget by 50%, $409 million police budget by 50%. Shift funding to community programs and services in historically black communities and ensure that protesters would not be charged with crimes. Interesting. Chaz became the focus of national attention. At Turning Point USA, we sent Benny Johnson and Colton Duncan as undercover journalists, and we did a piece of film in Chaz. Despite best efforts by police, they were not allowed to go into Chaz. This was described by the mayor and by many other officials as a summer of love, as a wonderful display of art and music. It's called the No Cop Co-op on June the 10th. They had the People's Garden in Cal Anderson Park. People came from all over. Finally, this is the Paris Commune that we have been dreaming of. Of course, eroding national, city, and state sovereignty and creating their own country. It was written about wonderfully by, let's just say poetically, by overeducated Marxist journalists. And then, like all acts of actual insurrection, things started to go poorly. In fact, they went tragically. You see, as we predicted, as soon as people start to form their own country in defiance to city, state, local, and national orders and not allow police in whatsoever, you are then going to have a hierarchy replace whatever pre-existed it with vigilantes and criminals. On June 20th, early in the morning, two people were shot in Chaz, the leftist paradise of the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. On June 21st, another shooting occurred. 17-year-old male was treated for a gunshot wound. He survived. On June 23rd, a third shooting occurred in Chaz. And then on June 29th, Antonio Mays Jr., a 16-year-old black male, was murdered. He was murdered in a place that was designed by Black Lives Matter Incorporated, BLM Incorporated. Do you know that no people have been arrested in connection to the 16-year-old Antonio Mays Jr. as of today? And if anyone can correct me on that, please email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Where was the media calling the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone a deadly protest? A deadly insurrection? This was more than a couple of agitators and professional troublemakers going into the United States Capitol and smashing windows. And by the way, just so that we are very clear, we're not exactly sure how on earth it was justified for that police officer to fire and discharge his weapon at Ashley Babbitt. However, we are about to see hundreds of arrests of anyone that walked into the United States Capitol. For anyone that did lead the charge, plan this, plant pipe bombs, smash windows. They should be arrested. Absolutely. But it's almost a guarantee that the prosecutions are going to go over the top. People are talking about using rarely used parts of the United States criminal code of sedition. And whether or not that is the correct course of action, we'll see. But it doesn't get much higher than that. The only thing that would be higher would be treason, which would only be applicable if these were government employees. However, to this day, 16-year-old black male Antonio Mays Jr. is not living. We don't know who did it. Police have made no arrests in any of the shootings since June 20th in that new country at the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle. And the left justified it. The left covered up for it. And that sort of insurrection was perfectly acceptable to them. But why is it that what happened yesterday was met with widespread, not yesterday, 2 days ago, widespread bipartisan condemnation, but not the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone? The reason is what happened on Wednesday is a narrative confirmation bias. We could not have designed, which we didn't, a optic and set of sequences and circumstances that fit everything that the Democrats and the left were hyperbolically saying would happen, a white nationalist insurrection in the country. And so because of that, they are now using this as an excuse to expand the surveillance state, expand the security state, and try to eliminate anything or anyone that was ever associated with President Donald Trump's political movement over the last 5 years. President Trump has tweeted he will not attend Joe Biden's inauguration. Isabel, it seems as if some Democrats have said – a lot of Democrats didn't come to the inauguration back in 2017.
Right. This idea of boycotting an inauguration over political reasons is not new. So don't let the media tell you that it is. We saw literally pages and pages worth of individuals who were publicly elected officials boycotting President Donald Trump's inauguration way back when in 2017. California Representative Karen Bass, Representative Alma Adams, Representative Don Beyer from Virginia, Representative Anthony Brown from Maryland. I could go literally on and on and on.
And it's nothing new for Democrats to boycott inauguration. They're going to say, this is unprecedented. This is terrible. And yet they applauded it when, you know, Democrats did this.
It was a heroes act way back when in 2017.
That's exactly right.
To take a stand and not attend.
So also the House of Representatives is entertaining impeachment against the president of the United States. Trump cabinet member on the 25th Amendment. We're not doing it, says that Trump wants a smooth transition. Members of Trump's cabinet have no plans to invoke the 25th Amendment, which means that almost assuredly by next week, the House of Representatives will impeach President Trump in a Soviet-style impeachment. That's Mark Levin's description for something the president did call for peaceful demonstrations, and they're going to try and eliminate publicly in a show trial his political career all in one kind of fell swoop, you could say, next week in the House of Representatives. And we'll see if the Senate also takes this up. And so he will also the president of the United States, President Trump, will be the fourth president not to attend the inauguration. John Adams, John Quincy Adams, and Andrew Jackson part of that category as well. So it's not as if this is the first president ever to do that. The president gave a video message last evening. I want to play that for those of you that have not heard it, where he addressed this head on. Let's play the message from the president of the United States.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order.
And I think we have another clip here as well. Let's play that.
The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engage in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high, but now tempers must be cooled.
And so the president also said, and I don't know if we have this or not, he said, those who engage in violence, these people do not represent our country. To those who broke the law, you will pay. Do we have that clip as well? Or I think we're loading that one up. We also have we're also getting the clip where the president said that he is going to order a seamless transition between the current administration and the Biden administration that is coming in. Continue to email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. A lot of people are asking us about what exactly is the course of action here. There are also people that are asking about some things that are floating around regarding potential next steps for the president and some things happening overseas. We are looking into that, and I hope we'll be able to shed some light on that later this hour or the next hour as well. I want to can you help build out exactly where the president yesterday said that he is going to order a seamless transition. This is kind of a new – this is a tonal shift, right? This is the first time he's actually acknowledged that.
Certainly within the last few days, absolutely. And I think just seeing that big tonal shift between a few days ago and now what we're seeing last night and today really signifies that we are moving through a peaceful transition of power. Of course, you won't hear that on social media, especially with his accounts being shut down. But I think there's definitely conflicting narratives between this continued power struggle we're hearing about in the media and what's actually playing out right before our eyes.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. We're getting lots of emails here at freedom@charliekirk.com. Asking for some clarity of what is exactly happening overseas in Italy, and we are looking very closely at that. But first, I want to play the president's remarks yesterday in its complete unedited fashion, and then I want you guys to continue to email us your thoughts and feedback. Let's play the president.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engage in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high. But now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. We must get on with the business of America. My campaign vigorously pursued every legal avenue to contest the election results. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote. In so doing, I was fighting to defend American democracy. I continue to strongly believe that we must reform our election laws to verify the identity and eligibility of all voters and to ensure faith and confidence in all future elections. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. 2020 has been a challenging time for our people. A menacing pandemic has upended the lives of our citizens, isolated millions in their homes, damaged our economy, and claimed countless lives. Defeating this pandemic and rebuilding the greatest economy on earth will require all of us working together. It will require a renewed emphasis on the civic values of patriotism, faith, charity, community, and family. We must revitalize the sacred bonds of love and loyalty that bind us together as one national family. To the citizens of our country, serving as your president has been the honor of my lifetime. And to all of my wonderful supporters, I know you are disappointed, but I also want you to know that our incredible journey is only just beginning. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
So that is the President of the United States yesterday, who was for the first time talking about a seamless transition and thanking his supporters for everything and the amount of success that has been achieved thanks to really his presidency and what they've been able to do. So I want to get into this in a very factual way. We've probably received, I would say, 5,000 to 6,000 emails asking about what is happening in Italy. And I am a fan, even though he was somewhat of an atheist, of David Hume. David Hume, the great skeptic, really did a lot to liberate the Western mind, in my opinion. He had a great quote that says, "I am ready to reject all pre-existing belief and reasoning, and can look upon no opinion even as more probable or likely than another." One of the most dangerous logical fallacies and traps that happen is to dismiss everything always if the media is not reporting it. Now, with that being said, there are some wacky stuff that people send us at freedom@charliekirk.com. And you look at it independently, rationally, and think through it. And so I just want to go through this, and I'm not going to – I can't confirm many parts of this, but some of this does look legitimate, and Laura Logan has tweeted some of this out. So the essence of this, of what is kind of heating up the internet tonight, just to kind of give you some idea of what's happening out here. Allegedly, there is an affidavit from an Italian court of a cybersecurity employee working for a company called Leonardo, has said he loaded up the software, which used satellites to switch the votes. Using the satellites is the key part, he claims, that went around the normal fiber lines, which apparently makes a difference. A signal shot from Frankfurt to Italian owned satellites was then transmitted to the U.S. to allegedly switch votes on Dominion systems from Trump to Biden. It then goes back to Dominion machines, which allegedly they say they were not connected to the internet. The allegation is that, yes, they were connected, but it was via satellite. This individual allegedly during an interrogation admitted the whole plot involving the satellites, the vote switching, etc. The narrative is that they were motivated to come forward apparently because of the debt that they felt Italy owed the United States for World War II. The affidavit, which we have not been able to independently verify, but Laura Logan did tweet out, is something of the essence that this individual signed and declared in Rome, Italy. Other people have confirmed this story, Patrick Byrne, other people. We take everything with a skeptical point of view. I'm willing to entertain all sorts of opinions and viewpoints. I'm not going to instantaneously dismiss anything, especially after all the nonsense that we have seen. But just to reinforce the weight and the gravity of exactly what we're talking about here, we're talking about a multi-country potential effort to blast up votes down to the United States into Dominion voting system machines. And so we're getting lots of emails about this, and we are going to spend a good amount of time asking about this and looking into it over the weekend. And some people, Congressman, I think, Louis Gohmert, has he commented on it? Is that right? Is that the right way to he has commented on it. And so I think that one of the things that is most important when you encounter stories like this is just to always ask for more facts and ask questions. What makes us informed, what makes us different than just following the normal party line is our capacity to reason, to think analytically, And as Rene Descartes famously said, I think, therefore, I am. And just don't throw out things instantaneously, but also when things start to not add up. For example, we received an email yesterday, probably from a very good patriot, who said that Mike Pence was in Guantanamo Bay facing execution scheduled today. I could tell you that is not true. And so I looked at it. I thought of this analytically. And then I said, well, no, that's not true. And so not comparing one thing to the other, I'm just saying that sometimes in the new internet age, there is a, I've used this word a couple times, deluge of things that ends up happening there. Okay, so I wanted to cover that. And if you guys have more questions about that, we can cover it, freedom@charliekirk.com. But I know that that's been heating up the internet a little bit the last couple days. Isabel, what are you reading? What are you looking at? What's on your mind?
So as predicted from the last few days, obviously, Charlie, we've been in this studio pretty much nonstop for the last 3 days or so, just taking everything as it comes in real time and analyzing sort of what we predict the next few days might look like as we get closer. We predicted that things might get a little crazier when it comes to the rhetoric against Trump supporters, specifically against the president and against individuals on Capitol Hill who objected to the Electoral College vote. Right now, we're seeing a lot of that, especially on social media. As of a few minutes ago, the hashtag Trump is a domestic terrorist was the number one trending topic on Twitter this morning. Another very highly trending topic at number four is hashtag Ted Cruz killed a cop, hashtag MAGA terrorism. Jeez. This rhetoric that all of a sudden I think is going to continue more deeply dividing the United States is really heating up and becoming significantly more serious in the allegations and finger pointing of what we're calling each other. It's no longer I disagree with you. It's because I disagree with you, you're automatically a terrorist.
Yeah. And so let me it's really a fascinating thing. So there's a couple groups of people. We receive a lot of emails and feedback from people where people say, I love what happened at the Capitol. I say, hold on a second. Time out. If you're a Trump supporter, you love what happened at the Capitol, probably doesn't strengthen the argument that Antifa was at the Capitol. Right. Just trying. You can't all of a sudden be like, yes, I was cheering those people on. And also it was all Antifa.
Right.
Right. So it doesn't exactly help the argument there. That's number one. Number two, let's talk about who was actually there. Viking Man, okay? Not an Antifa guy. He is someone that has been at Trump supporter rallies before. And based on his social media posts, Viking Man, who apparently was a shaman, that's what I was told, as something of that variety, was a Trump supporter. However, there have been reports. There was one gentleman that was there who will probably be arrested very soon, who was from Utah, who was a professional instigator and agitator. He went to far right rallies. He went to far left rallies. He is a non-ideological guy that's always just looking for a fight, probably has manic depressant, sociopathic tendencies. And to just loop him in as a Trump supporter is very unfair. OK, so that would be that would reinforce the argument. There's also a fair amount of people that would identify on the white nationalist, ethno-nationalist fringe. They are not part of the conservative movement. They self-describe themselves as. One gentleman that went into Pelosi's office had a quote that was – I'm not going to even read on air – from Alabama or Arkansas, I think he is from, and he's been identified since. There are other people, though, and this is where the nuance is important, that didn't bash windows, that didn't bring down doors, that got caught up in the heat of the moment, that followed with Trump flags up to the steps of the Capitol or went into the rotunda and then went out. And unfortunately, I believe that many of those people are now going to be tried wrongly with terrorism charges. Okay. And I just want to be very clear that there were Trump legitimate mainstream Trump supporters there. There was a vast majority. There was a lot of professional instigators or agitators. And so if I were to try to build out exactly what happened, there were a lot of Trump supporters that came that planned to peacefully demonstrate. And then these agitators that know how to get up a crowd, that know how to get emotions flowing, they were the ones that were leading the charge. They were saying things that they know are trigger words alongside some of the ethno-nationalist people that are not part of the conservative movement. And you had this kind of confluence of events that kind of stirred all of that up. That is the factual, nuanced way to describe exactly what we know as of today right now. But to say that they were all Trump supporters is completely and totally untrue. I want to paint a different scenario for you. People say, well, Charlie, were we just supposed to sit there and do nothing when they stole our election? I said, absolutely not. That was never my position. I've never said that. And I want to get into something that is nuanced but important. The difference between civil discord and civil disobedience. Those are two completely different things. What happened on Wednesday, whether it was instigated or whether it was churned up or whatever you want to call it, was civil discord, and no one, I think, should support that. Some people do, and we don't. But what is civil disobedience? It's something completely and totally different. Civil disobedience has been used many times in the last 150, 200 years to effectuate mass social change that all of us would look back and we look at those people as heroes. Civil disobedience is something completely and totally different. Civil disobedience, by definition, is supposed to be nonviolent in nature. Civil disobedience is never supposed to harm another person. It can temporarily inconvenience someone. I'll get to that in just a second. However, it's also supposed to make a broader and bigger point. The author of The Idea of Civil Disobedience is someone by the name of Henry David Thoreau. He was a transcendentalist. I can never say that word smoothly, Isabel. But he believed in transcendentalism. He was inspired by Ralph Waldo Emerson, who of course wrote Walden in the Woods. Or maybe Thoreau wrote Walden in the Woods. Anyway, I get them interchanged all the time. They were really good friends. And they were kind of the original individual thinkers in the mid-1800s of this idea of kind of individual Emerson wrote Walden. Okay, I was right. Got it. Thank you, Connor. So Henry David Thoreau famously wrote his doctrine on civil disobedience when he refused to pay taxes to the federal government, and it failed miserably. He went to jail. However, here's what civil disobedience – and we're going to see a lot more of this. I want to be very clear. I will support thoughtful acts of civil disobedience. It's what makes this country a beautiful country. I will not support acts of civil discord or of harming other people. Okay, so here are the three kind – and this is an original list from me, but it's really not original. What do I mean by that? Meaning that if you just read all the literature, you'll come away with these takeaways. But the list itself I think helps. Here are the three attributes of civil disobedience. I want you to ask yourselves the question of whether or not the people on Wednesday did this. Number one, you must have a clear goal in mind. What the heck was the clear goal in mind on Wednesday? What was the goal? Bloodshed? Stupid. Number two, you must be willing to accept the punishment. The fact that a lot of these people are still MIA and running around goes to show that they are going against the doctrine of effective civil disobedience. Number three, exhausted all other options. Meaning you have exhausted all other options. Some people say we did exhaust all our options. That's why we were there. Oh, wait. No. So Henry David Thoreau did write Walden. Okay. I'm getting all sorts of different types of feedback. I told you I get them confused all the time. It's all right. We got our wires crossed. Thank you, Connor. I want you to imagine something as we wrap up this hour. And we're going to carry this into the next hour as well. I want you to imagine that this beautiful rally happens with the president. And instead of any of these instigators and agitators doing that, all the Trump supporters instead went to Pennsylvania Avenue and sat down and started singing patriotic songs, America the Beautiful, the national anthem. And they said, we are going to sit here peacefully. You're going to have to arrest us until we get a certification of the 2020 election. I would have been in support of that. Why? Clear goal in mind. We want an audit of the election or to go to the state legislature, willing to accept the punishment and exhausted all other options. Do you see how things would have been different? See, that would not have been doing nothing. That actually would have taken more courage and more clarity than bashing in windows and it would have actually helped achieve your goal. I want you to imagine if 300,000, half a million people would have sat down in Pennsylvania Avenue singing America the Beautiful. Could they have arrested all half a million people? Of course not. And that would have won public opinion over. Okay, so I want to there's a lot of things I want to get into. You guys can email us in real time, freedom@charliekirk.com. Someone just said, what is the story out of Italy? Thankfully, I've already covered that. So you guys can go back in the live stream and do that. Thank you for asking. No, I want to say here, there was one really, really good email. I can't find it. Someone was just complimenting the idea around civil disobedience. So, Isabel, you had some thoughts on this, right? And then I want to kind of get more into a history of civil disobedience and what that exactly means. Because the answer is not to do nothing.
Right.
I'm not saying that every person that was there in Washington, D.C. Shouldn't have been there. I'm not saying that there couldn't have been something bold and courageous that was done. But smashing windows isn't that.
Well, I think our track history with Turning Point USA and just as individuals, too, is always to take a stand for what you believe in and to do something when you see injustice, when you're experiencing injustice. And we talked a lot the other day on our live stream about how people do feel disenfranchised. They don't feel heard. They feel shut down by their government. And of course, you should do something about that. But there's a very clear line between civil disobedience and civil discord. And I know we're going to be jumping into that here in a moment. And that doesn't necessarily mean following the letter of the law, because civil disobedience has always involved a level of lawlessness, but that doesn't have to go into violence.
Yes.
I can't really begin to tell you how many posts I've seen in the last 24 hours listing the names of people who broke the law in the name of true justice throughout history, because the law isn't always on the side of justice. And that's important to remember. We've seen some of the most inspiring people throughout history break the law to further the cause of justice. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. That being said, breaking the law and destruction of property and violence are two very different things.
So, it depends what law you're breaking. And so the three characteristics of civil disobedience, which is you must be willing to accept the punishment. You don't wear masks. You don't do what BLM and Antifa did, or what some of the people that might have been Antifa or leftist agitators did, where you smash all these windows and
run away.
You must be willing. You must be willing to accept the punishment. Number two, the true doctrine of civil disobedience: peaceful demonstration. You don't hurt other people, and you don't take their stuff. It's a pretty simple rule.
Yeah, very simple.
You don't hurt other people, and you don't take their stuff. Now, this is nuanced. You can inconvenience people. The most famous types of civil disobedience would be sitting in the street, right, or something like that.
Rosa Parks refusing to give.
We're going to get to that. Yeah. And that one wasn't as much of an inconvenience. It was against the law because it was an unjust law. And then the other thing is you must have a clear goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to achieve? I'm angry. Oh, okay, we got that. I'm angry too. Okay, I dedicated my life to getting this president reelected.
Yep.
Lots of anger around here. Okay. So then what do you do about it? What's your goal?
Mm-hmm.
The goal was let's try to get the state legislatures involved, audit the elections, all these sorts of things. Okay. So we're willing to take the punishment. All half a million of us are willing to go to jail. Okay. We're not going to hurt other people and take their stuff, right? That's like two good things. We're not going to smash windows. We're not going to hurt people. We have a clear goal in mind. We've exhausted all their options. And then you have hundreds of thousands of people that – and I made this recommendation as the other hour was kind of ending very quickly – is what if this would have happened? What if hundreds of thousands of people on Wednesday – would have went to Pennsylvania Avenue in a beautiful patriotic display and sat down in Pennsylvania Avenue and just sang America the Beautiful and God Bless America and wonderful patriotic songs. Now, that would have checked all those boxes, right?
Right. And it would have left a legacy. And I think that's important, too. People want this to be in the history books. And I think, unfortunately, now Wednesday is going to be in the history books for a lot of wrong reasons.
And then who would have been the martyrs in that situation? Who would have been in who would have been the ones – the people getting arrested for singing patriotic songs, for demanding a clear, fair election.
Correct.
You know, while they're singing, they're getting arrested. They would have been willing to accept the punishment. This is why what Henry David Thoreau wrote about here, he said, if you're not willing to accept the punishment, your protest is not a protest. You know, you're not going to win over public opinion. Do you think that public opinion was won over on Wednesday?
Absolutely.
And some
not.
People say public opinion means nothing. You're wrong. It means a lot.
Yeah, it does.
You want to actually effectuate mass social change, then you need to be able to do that. So you kind of look at some examples of this. Obviously, Rosa Parks is a great example, right? Now, the backstory on Rosa Parks, which is really interesting, is that she was a member of the NAACP before the NAACP, became super political as it is now. But as a member of the NAACP, she knew that busing was becoming a focus of the local NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of was leading. She was a leader on that. She said, I'm not going to sit in the back of the bus. Kind of everyone knows kind of how that unfolded. But she went to jail. She didn't resist violently. She didn't do that. Now, this is kind of where some people in the move that you have a Malcolm X interpretation and Martin Luther King interpretation of this. And generally, Martin Luther King was a proponent of peaceful demonstration. With that being said, where there's history of Martin Luther King that's not always told, he did say positive things about mobs at times too, mm-hmm. Of which I do not share. Probably the best example, though, that is used is Gandhi's Salt March,
yep.
Right? Where there was the details are hard to recollect. There was a salt tax, I think, being put on by Britain, and 60,000. He would go from city to city, kind of protesting it, and 60,000 people went to jail. But they actually ended up getting what they wanted through peaceful demonstration. There's many other examples of this, but in the era we live in social media and mass media, I think it's easier to win over public opinion and easier to lose public opinion if you mishandle these situations.
100%.
And so I just want to make sure everyone understands my position, where some people say that none of those people should have been there. There's no election to protest. Like, how are we actually protesting it, right?
Right.
And so here's if it looks like absent a God-sized miracle, Biden's going to become president. And there's going to be a lot of unconstitutional, unjust laws that are going to come through. And so let's give an example that all of a sudden Joe Biden signs in an assault weapons ban. What's the proper way to protest that? Well, you have to be willing to accept the punishment, not hurt other people and not take their stuff. Have a clear goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You got to satisfy those requirements, right? So and you have to exhaust all their options. Did you fight in the courts? Did you try to take over state legislatures? Did you try, did you use all the different maybe sanctuary city provisions that have now been put in before all of a sudden people start shooting and go to violence,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's what I kind of want to just build out, because we got a lot of questions here. They said, Charlie, the founding fathers shot and asked questions later. No, that is not the story of the American founding.
Yep.
There was a decade of peaceful pushing back against the crown, of negotiation, of deliberation. The Declaration of Independence was not a declaration of war.
Mm-hmm.
The founding fathers wanted to seek peaceful means of the formation of the new country. It wasn't until the Boston Massacre and until Lexington Concord came before the Declaration, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until things really started to bubble up till things get to that moment. The founding fathers did not relish conflict, though. They didn't want it. They weren't the ones that were like, we must go to war now. They knew what was going to happen after the Declaration. But there were some people that signed it that were hopeful that the Britain, because of how war weary they were and because of a rising French power that was being led by Napoleon, wasn't totally in power yet, but a rising French power, that they wouldn't want the fight. They were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read in the Declaration, it says when in the course of human events it becomes necessary to dissolve ties. This was hey, can we dissolve peacefully?
Right.
The answer was no. But this idea that all of a sudden the founding fathers didn't document thoughtfully, specifically of exactly what they wanted to do and try to come to that kind of peaceful conclusion, and they just started storming British troops, and that's not correct at all. And so I just want to make sure that we add the proper interpretation of American history here for some people that are all of a sudden like doing this massive call to arms. And even since then, if you look at domestic changes in our laws, if you look at American history, the most effective way to do it is through the doctrine of Henry David Thoreau's civil disobedience. And that's something that I think we must re-educate ourselves on, especially as we get into the looming tyranny we all know is coming. We are going through a couple different things. I think this is really important, and we're getting a lot of actually really thoughtful questions. And I know there's a lot of anger out there, and anger is fine. I'm angry too, trust me, and so is Isabel. Of what's happened in our country and also about how this entire thing was administered. And what we were doing in the previous segment is just painting a picture of how things could have been different on Wednesday. Still could have been bold, still could have been dramatic and courageous, mm-hmm. where that huge march could have happened and went to Pennsylvania Avenue, sat down, sang patriotic songs for 12 hours. Imagine if they were there for 2 days, hundreds of thousands of people, food would have been provided to them, and all of a sudden Congress would have heard hundreds of thousands of people through the halls of Congress singing America the Beautiful, trying to say, please clarify the election, all peaceful. There wouldn't have been enough cops in D.C., Virginia, or Delaware to arrest them all. The media would say, arrest all these terrible people. And the argument would be, wait a second, Washington, D.C. is locked down anyway. Why do they need to leave Pennsylvania Avenue? And these hundreds of thousands of people would have drawn peacefully a massive amount of – it would have moved the dial. And all of a sudden, we would have supported it. And anyone that would have been arrested there, it would have been looked like that was the act of tyranny going towards them. And every single goal that we might have wanted to see accomplished could have been accomplished when in reality the exact opposite happened. And so the question is, why did this happen? Why did it happen the way it did? Well, they were agitators and they were really high emotions. And also, quite honestly, in our conservative movement, we have not done a good enough job of educating all of you on what is civil disobedience, how does it work? And what exactly are we doing here? Because all this anger needs to manifest itself, hopefully, into something constructive. We talked about in civil disobedience, you must be willing to accept the punishment, have a clear goal in mind, exhaust all other options, and also, quite honestly, be able to win over public opinion in more ways than one. A lot of people have been asking us, well, Charlie, didn't the American founders, didn't they immediately go to violence? And Isabel, if you look back in history, that's not exactly the case.
It's absolutely not the case. The reality is the people who are responsible for creating the United States of America broke with human nature. They didn't resort to violence after literally decades of frustration. They formed a Congress. They organized. They boycotted. They didn't pay their taxes. They burned stamps, all of which led up to a revolution. But even then, as we just mentioned in our last segment, the Declaration of Independence was not a declaration of war. It was asking for a peaceful dissolution of the United States from the British Empire. So they truly did exhaust every other option over a span of literally decades before an actual armed revolution took place.
That's right. And the Declaration of Independence was trying to be a peaceful seeking of, you know, remedying differences. And also the other important point here is that the founding fathers did not have national elections to be able to elect a leader. Now, the counter argument that you probably are saying, well, Charlie, we didn't have an election here, and that's why all this anger kind of pent up. I think that's a pretty fair point. Mm-hmm. However, we did have an election in most states. And in the next segment, I want to build this out, which is this question of, should I ever vote again? Should I ever participate in this? I'm going to completely and totally check out. I think that's a pretty silly argument, and for a variety of different reasons. But also, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you in kind of how we have responded to things and how we have handled things. And so as we kind of come up on the looming Biden presidency, I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunity to learn from this because there will be a tremendous amount of liberties and freedoms taken from us, and there already have been. The question is, how are we going to handle it? Are we going to handle it like some of the maybe Antifa, insurrectionist, far-right, white nationalist people did on Wednesday? Or are we going to take a step back and say, I'm going to not take people's stuff and not hurt them. I've exhausted all other options. I have a clear goal in mind, and I'm willing to accept the punishment. All of a sudden, you'll win over public opinion when that happens. You'll win over other people's sympathies when that occurs. And that really does matter when you're trying to effectuate social change. Now, if your goal is just to watch the world burn, then go do what you did on Wednesday. If all you want is people to fight each other and for blood to spill, that is not an argument that is rooted in the Western tradition. Remember, it takes talent, skill, thought, and quite honestly, a higher level of consideration to build. It takes no such consideration to tear down. ISIS can tear stuff down. That's what they do all day long. All they do is destroy. They've never built anything. But to build something new, it takes patience. It takes deliberation. It takes focus. It takes perseverance. And that's what the West is all about. The West is about building something new, not just tearing down the same piece of land and conquering it in some sort of medieval feudal theocracy. That's not who we are. And that's not who we should be. Instead, we should always be asking ourselves, how can I build new? And that's who we are. So we're loading up some very interesting video around the Capitol Hill chaos that ensued a couple days ago. But I want to address this question of people that say, I'm never going to vote again. I'm never going to vote again. I don't trust any of our elections. Well, that's a really dumb thing to say. Because let's go this piece by piece and bit by bit. Do you believe Trump won the state of Florida? Yes or no? If yes, then you do trust some elections then. Do you believe that Young Kim won her congressional race in Orange County, California? Yes. So maybe there was fraud and there was nonsense, all of that. But enough people voted to get Congresswoman Young Kim to unseat Gil Cisneros. Do you believe that Mike Garcia won in California? Because he did. The point is this, is that there are certain states that have practices that are unconstitutional that absolutely need to get addressed. But there are states that are actually doing their elections correctly. Let me read you the election results from the state of Florida. Last time, President Donald Trump won Florida by 110,000 votes. This time, he won the state of Florida with 5.68 million votes. Joe Biden got 5.2 million votes, winning by nearly 4,400,000 votes. And so if you think and you trust the elections in Florida, take a step back and say, why? Well, it's because of leadership. And it's also because of public pressure. It's because I'm a citizen in the state of Florida. The Florida Republican Party and the Florida legislature got heavily involved in getting secure elections, kicking Dominion out of their state, doing these sort of things. Signature verification. The point is this, is that we do have certain states where elections are done fairly and transparently with massive amounts of population. So if you trust the elections in Florida and if you trust the elections in Ohio, then that means there is some pathway forward that somewhere in this country you can then get to a point of transparency and trust. But a question a lot of people have is, well, how do I trust my elections again in Georgia, in Arizona? Great question. Brian Kemp and the governor's race in Arizona are both up in 2022. Demand in the primary and daily through your activism and through everything you're doing that you want very specific changes done. All you want to say is this: I want the Florida system of voting in Georgia and Arizona. That's it. I want the Florida system of voting nationwide. For some of you that are skeptical and you'll say that'll never happen, dismiss all that cynicism and entertain a little bit of hope. In 2018, when Ron DeSantis ran for the governor's race, it was a mess. Brenda Snipes in Broward County took days to report results. There were ballots being driven in from everywhere. Ron DeSantis narrowly won that race, and the moment he took office, he changed the elections. Things can move to be better. This is one thing that I hope to instill a little optimism and confidence in you. I think far too often we have this belief that things are just always getting worse forever. No, Florida is a test case of how things were awful and they're actually pretty awesome now. That Florida schools are open, that Florida businesses are open, that in Florida they have the strictest signature verification of the country, and Florida is the third most populous state in the country, third or fourth most populous state in the country. Why? People demanded it. Citizens rose up and we had leadership. Totally agree that we got some problems. We got some problems in two states in particular that need to be fixed immediately. And both of those states have Republican legislatures, state and Senate, state House and Senate, and a state governor. Georgia and Arizona, unacceptable. It has to be fixed now. Also, we look at Wisconsin and Michigan, Republican state legislatures. Florida was a mess. And it became fixed. So if you all of a sudden say, I trust none of my elections, none of them are happening, you're wrong. You self-contradict yourself. You either believe that Elvira Salazar won in downtown Miami, Florida, in a heavily Democrat district, or you don't. I want to add, I have a question here that I want to ask, I want to show a clip here. It's very interesting. There were definitely people that broke through window and glass, that people that were fighting with police. At the same time, though, it looks like new video has popped up that shows that the Capitol Hill police let these people through. How did that happen and why did that happen? Now, we have muted this video because we are streaming live on radio stations across the country, and there's a lot of swear words and we're not allowed to air those. So for those of you on the live stream, you're about to watch a video with no audio. In fact, can you keep my mic hot so I can narrate over that? So before I play this tape, though, this is a tape showing, and I've not seen this tape until this morning. They just open up the doors and they allow everyone to come in. This is not an act of terrorism, just letting people through a door. Now, Isabel, you've spent a lot of time in D.C. Anyone's allowed to go into Capitol Hill usually, typically, right? You can
typically,
show up.
This is true.
You're just allowed to go through. You have to go through a security thing usually, right?
And on occasion, you do have to get a special pass to observe in the gallery for the House and the Senate. But it's not very difficult to get one of those. You visit your representative or your senator and just ask.
Right. And so I want to be very clear. There's other videos that show that there were instigators that were burning and fighting cops. This video right here adds a little nuance, though, that some people were just allowed to walk in as if they were invited. Play tape, and I'm going to narrate over it. So as you have here, a group of people that look to be march participants, and the doors are just kind of let open. Who they were let open by and for what reason, we don't know. And it looks – I don't know who these people are or what they are doing, but this does not look – anything to be violent in my estimation. For those of you on radio, you can go to the Charlie Kirk YouTube. The police just seem to kind of be standing there. They just look, that's them. They just kind of let them go by. This doesn't look any like there's burning or anything like that happening. They're just kind of walking up the stairs and kind of just going through. So while there is footage, it's just they're walking in a single file line. This doesn't look like storming the Capitol, right? This doesn't look as if there's anything overly violent. Now, the it looks like a journalist. I wonder if he'll get charged on federal terrorism charges. So here's the Capitol Hill Rotunda. They just kind of walked in, and I think that's the end of that video, right? So there are other videos that show that people were breaking glass and trying to get in and all of that. But that right there just kind of goes to show that the police were just kind of like, walk through. Now, it could be that the police were given a stand-down order. By whom, we don't know. Or it could be that the police made the decision like, hey, I don't want anyone to die right now. I'm just going to kind of make the easy decision to let them through. And I don't want the conflict or the controversy. Now, whether that was the right decision or not, you can kind of sympathize with it. But if you play that video back one more time, let's play that video again, Connor. It's pretty powerful here. Let's play this again. I just want to be very clear. We never saw this type of footage on cable news. I have not seen this on CNN, and I have not seen this in other places where the people are just kind of just walking through. Now, before anyone get, I just want to make sure we're honest. This is not all the footage of what happened, okay? There were people that were assaulting police officers. There were people that were instigating. But this just looks to be kind of a single file line. There are the police officers right there that are just kind of like, yeah, come on through. I'm not going to fight you. It just seems as if they were just kind of allowed. What's your thoughts on this, Isabel?
Charlie, you used a few words a second ago that I don't want us to forget, and that is we don't know. I've got a lot of heat in the last few days, especially from people who disagree with me in the political realm, saying that how can I possibly say we don't know? We know exactly what's going on. There's so much violence going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not what we're seeing right in front of our eyes. I don't think we'll know the whole story of what happened on Wednesday for quite some time, and you certainly won't hear about it on the mainstream media.
No.
But it's okay to pause and say we don't have all of the facts. We're going to reserve judgment on things until we do have all of the facts. And don't fall into this trick narrative that you have to automatically make an assumption and a judgment and a statement.
And what we do know is that some people, and we don't know who these people are, though, were smashing windows and assaulting cops. But that just looks just kind of like a single file line of people that were walking into the Capitol.
That's what it appears to be to me as well.
Yeah. So that doesn't look like anything over the top. Again, we're just talking about a singular
instance. Yeah. One video that we're seeing right now. And we've been very clear talking about the violence as well in the last few days that that's never okay. It's not anything we condone or celebrate or even remotely associate with. So, you know, that video is very different from the footage that we just showed you. But we encourage you guys to always go and try to find all of the facts of any situation possible.
Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to take some of the questions here. Let's get right here to Vice President Pence is at the White House right now, according to Seth Abramson from the NBC News. I guess it's breaking if you think that Mike Pence is in Guantanamo Bay. Besides that, I'm not exactly sure. Okay, let's get to this question here. Hi, Charlie. I'm a 35-year-old conservative mom of two young girls from Houston, Texas, who never really cared greatly about politics until the past year. I had a friend turn me on to your podcast, and boy, you were a bright spot in 2020. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for rising up, opening my eyes, and teaching our youth and creating a much-needed movement for this country. God bless you and all this. Not really a question, but thank you for the positive reinforcement. We appreciate that. Here's a good question here, which is a woman was killed in the Capitol building. People broke in, damaging federal property. So why wasn't this a crime scene sealed off? That's a very good question. That seems as if just kind of allowing that to go back to normal business. It's kind of strange,
especially
right?
Considered someone was shot by a police officer. There was a death that occurred as a result of that shooting. There's a lot of unanswered questions here. And, you know, I think it's worth pursuing and investigating some
totally.
Of that information.
There's some breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to share this with us, Isabel?
We are just now hearing from our team that United States House Democrats are planning to introduce new articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump on Monday. So I think we're going to be hearing
a lot
more on Monday.
You know what the greatest injustice of all this is? That's the night of the national championship. So I'm going to have to
That's
be here.
That's a problem.
I'm going to have to be here doing roll call votes of what Republicans are deciding to Soviet style impeach our president. But I think if we have the rights to do it, if we can get it on some sort of public access television, we'll stream the national championship on here alongside the impeachment. Is that legal, Connor? Are we allowed to do that? Why not? Okay. Until if I can get some sort of legal feed to Alabama versus Ohio State, and I think I'm going to lose a lot of listeners in Huntsville, but I do want to see the Ohio State Buckeyes win on Monday. And by the way, this impeachment is completely and totally pointless. It's baseless,
mm-hmm.
And it invalidates exactly what impeachment actually is. And then it will go to the Senate. So we are going to be monitoring this in real time. Ben Sasse from Nebraska has said he's open to it amongst other Republicans, which is not exactly surprising.
Right.
Senator Ben Sasse says that he might be signaling for impeachment. Let's play tape of that.
An insurrectionist mob came and marched on that Capitol after a rally with the President of the United States where he told them to come to the Capitol and to go wild.
Yep.
He was flagrantly disregarding his oath of office. So that's not in debate. Donald Trump has acted shamefully. He has been in flagrant dereliction of his duty, and he will be remembered for having incited this and for having drawn more division into an already divided people.
So that's Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska, who is calls himself a Republican, who will looks like he'll be supporting impeachment of the President of the United States if it goes there. We're getting a clip here of the president telling rally goers to be peaceful. We are getting that one right there. It's hard to find, obviously, because it's kind of buried in there. And so of course, by big tech. So, Isabel, does the president have an Instagram account right now?
Nope. Or Facebook account or Twitter account.
Well, I think he has Twitter back.
Oh, it has come back. Yes, that one was only a 12-hour ban, not an indefinite ban. But it's going to be unlikely we'll be hearing directly from him on Facebook or Instagram for a long time.
Yeah, totally. Well, that is kind of a byproduct of big tech.
The fact that big tech can cancel the account of the President of the United States, and we're not hearing more concern from people, is wildly alarming to me in 2021. Regardless of who the president is, that is a massive power grab.
Well, and the head of Iran, the supreme leader Khomeini, still allowed to have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
But then they deactivate the President of the United States from having kind of social media access. Go figure that one out.
Crazy.
We're going to take some of your questions here. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Isabel, there was a question here I wanted you to answer that I think could be
I think a lot of us are feeling this way. So this question is from Sarah from Indiana. It says, Charlie, what is next? I'm a 16-year-old girl from Indiana, and I'm so concerned for the future and how I will one day be able to raise my kids. What is the country going to be like? Will there be secessions? I will trust God fully, but I'm very concerned, and I'm so dang mad over impeachment. It's just selfishness now. I've had enough. Sarah, we've all had enough. We all feel like that. I'm sorry that things feel so out of control and confusing and just this very, very tangled mess of information right now in 2021. I think Gen Z people particularly feel this way in America. We have been raised in a string of crises from 9/11 when we were very, very, very young children to school shootings when we were growing up, then the COVID-19 pandemic, then everything we saw this week. And I want you to know there's power in being involved in the process. I think when you start to get involved, when you use your voice in your community, when you actually use your hands to do something in this movement, you just feel so much more empowered with the direction of this country, knowing that you are helping to influence what that looks like. I felt confused and overwhelmed before I got involved with Turning Point USA. I got involved when I was a college student, and my life has looked nothing like it did since then.
What did it look like before, Isabel?
I was actually pre-med in college. I wanted to be a doctor. I really had no interest in politics as a career other than a personal hobby. Obviously, my life has taken a very different direction since then, but I have so much fallen in love with being involved in the process, with showing up to knock doors and make phone calls and sit here on live streams and tell you guys what's going on, and most importantly, just inspire other people to get more knowledgeable and get involved in the process too. So I would highly encourage you to do that. It's super easy to get involved with Turning Point USA. We can help you with that process as well.
tpusa.com/get involved. There's a lot of misinformation happening right now in our country, and the greatest thing you could do when you're angry or you're upset or you're high with emotion is to get back to the anchor of reason.
Yep.
Rene Descartes famously said, "I think, therefore I am." And so when you stop thinking, you're no longer, quite honestly, existing. And if things sound really good, almost too good to be true in the news cycle, then challenge your premise, as Rene Descartes would say. Challenge the given in geometric terms and go back to a place where you then can find comfort and direction and focus in the news you're processing and then chart your course correctly. And I truly believe that our best days are ahead of us. I really do believe that. And I believe that despite all the nonsense that has happened this week, there's still some tremendous victories that we can continue to celebrate. Okay, let's play this tape here of what it looks to be some people being let in. Let's do it with no sound and then just keep my mic active so I can narrate. Is that okay? Good. Play tape, please. Thank you. So it looks as if that's to be a singular police officer who is trying to tell people to stop. And they're having some sort of a shouting match. Doesn't look to be respectful. And he's telling them to come back. And they're kind of charging the police officer and moving at the police officer. And look, let me just be very clear. If this was Black Lives Matter, BLM Incorporated, treating a police officer like this, we would be denouncing this totally and completely.
Instantly.
And so that is – some people would say that video is showing that that is letting people through. I wouldn't show it that way. That looks like people that were trying to overwhelm a police officer is what it looks like. That gentleman was wearing a Q shirt, it looked like. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And – let's say right here, this is a good question here. Charlie, are we watching the end of the Republican Party? The Democrats and their allies, including big tech and news media, have flipped the switch to full-blown Marxism and totalitarianism rule of law. The Republican leaders are beginning to just wake up and realize it's not the good old buddies across the aisle anymore. Watching Ted Cruz, Mitch McConnell turn their backs on President Trump will not help their cause, nor resigning a cabinet position. How do you like big tech's full assault on closing conservative accounts and purging them throughout all of this? Personally, I don't think the Republicans understand the tremendous challenge in front of us all with being weak. I think we're watching the end of the Republican Party. Chicago guy, what do you think, Isabel?
I'm right there with you. Honestly, I've said for quite some time that I don't necessarily think we'll have a two-party system within my lifetime anymore. You're seeing such a significant fracture, particularly on the left side of the aisle as well, between this new age of socialism and then traditional liberalism. And then obviously within the conservative side of thinking between establishment politics and new age conservatism. I think we're seeing that dissolve right before our eyes very, very clearly. You're seeing well-known Republicans try to impeach the president of the United States for what? For saying something during a speech that was actually contrary to what you're claiming he says. I'm not exactly sure. But we've come to a very unique point in human history and within conservative politics, indeed.
I completely agree with that analysis. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Jack says this, Charlie, I'm 16 years old from Pittsburgh. Half of my immediate family is Democrat. When I make a good argument with facts, I'm just shut down because, quote, I don't have enough experience. I was just having this conversation with one of our team members. I want to get involved with Turning Point USA, but not sure how my friends and family around me will react. What should I do? Jack here, I'm not going to say what high school he goes to because I don't want him to lose his job opportunities. Isabel, have you ever lost friends because of politics?
Friends, family members, acquaintances, mentors, you name it. That is one of the really unfortunate realities of being an outspoken conservative now in 2021 and has been for the last few years. But the people that have come into my life as a result of being outspoken and taking this journey by the reins means so much more to me than anybody else who chose to walk out of my life. That's a decision those people had to make. If they feel better going to bed every night, not being associated with a conservative, that's on them. But I can't tell you how many people, even those who disagree with me, have come into my life as a result of being so outspoken and well-rooted in my beliefs and respect me a lot more because of it.
It's a great answer. Let's get to some other questions here. And I think we have some other sound that we want to play here that we didn't get to in the show here. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. This is Anderson Cooper on the Capitol rioters. These people are just going to go back to Olive Garden. Let's play cut 102.
It's stunning. And they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden and to their the Holiday Inn that they're staying at and the Garden Marriott. And they're going to have some drinks and they're going to talk about the great day that they had in Washington. And they really did something and stand up for something.
First of all, I think Olive Garden is generally underrated.
I agree with that statement. Those breadsticks are good, you guys.
And I think that his view, Anderson Cooper, if only all of us were heirs to the Vanderbilt fortune. Do you know Anderson Cooper's direct heir of
the
Vanderbilt fortune?
How elitist did that sound, by the way? I stayed at a Holiday Inn a few months ago when I was on the road talking to you guys, just to suggest that somehow you're culturally above Trump supporters or conservative people because we happen to eat at Olive Garden every once in a while.
Well,
it's so demeaning.
We can't all afford $800 meals a night for the Vanderbilt heirs of Anderson Cooper. His idea of Trump supporters is walking through Times Square and seeing Olive Garden and scoffing and saying, who would dare waste their money on such an establishment like this? That is Anderson Cooper's view of the common man in this country. Let's get to another clip here. And that is, let's say here, I think we did do this one. Oh, yeah. You know, it's really interesting when the left was calling for massive demonstrations. Will the media ask Senator Kamala Harris if she is still in support of the types of riots and the arson and the marches? Let's go to cut 92.
I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
Not going to stop and not going to let up in any way whatsoever. Let's also go to Black Lives Matter leader 89, Aislinn Pulley, on the looting of the stores. That is reparations. Remember, she said these are reparations. Let's do 89, then 88, please.
If somebody decides to loot a Gucci or a Macy's or a Nike, because that makes sure that that person eats, that makes sure that that person has clothes, that's reparations. That is reparations. Anything they want to take it, because these businesses have insurance. They're going to get their money back.
You hear that? You have insurance, so you could take everything. That's the way that it works. Let's go to cut 88. Looters in the middle of the day stealing packages from the back of an Amazon truck. This was perfectly justified. Cut 88. In the middle of the day, that was not denounced. Instead, it was justified by people that wrote a book, The Case for Looting. Do you remember that book that came out over the summer where they justified mass looting, arson as a form of protest, and redistribution economics? Let's go to actually, here's a good one here as we look at some of your questions. You guys are emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's go to this one right here, just kind of a fun, lighthearted one. Let's go to Cut 96. Remember when there was a new country formed in this in America? This is true insurrection, and yet it was applauded by the media. Cut 96.
Well, come on down to Chaz. Look at all the wonderful things that communism has to offer. Feel safe in Chaz with strong border security and armed border guards. Live like a good communist in Chaz housing just like this. You can live in slums. No need to have ambulances in utopian Chaz. Turn them into housing. No need to buy clothes. Clothes are free in communist Chaz. Be a good environmentalist by throwing your trash everywhere and expecting capitalist America to pick it up.
So that is from the great Benny Johnson from our Turning Point USA Productions Department, doing a great job of kind of making fun and making light of this. Let's go to Cut 97, which, remember, one of our Turning Point USA staff members got mobbed and assaulted inside of Chaz. Is this not insurrection? Is this not sedition? Play Cut 97.
No, that's not fine. Yeah, take it.
So that it looks like a violent mob, doesn't it?
Yep, sure does.
Swept
and violence
into the dustbin
is
of history.
Pretty clear trait of Chaz, by the way. We touched on that earlier. But in the end, by the time Chaz got shut down in Seattle, their homicide rate turned out to be over 1,200 per 100,000. That's a rate nearly 50 times higher than Chicago's. So it doesn't exactly sound like a place I want to live in or a place that should have been celebrated by the media. But here we are.
So here's a point here from Joey, who emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com. He said, our social contract was broken on the 6th of January. All those who believe in America feel as if we've been punched in the gut by our own government. We declare our social contract with our government null and void. So those that don't know what the social contract is, there were three major social contract theorists, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Thomas Hobbes, and John Locke. They all wrote about the social contract very differently. Jean-Jacques Rousseau believed that our rights come from government. He did not recognize God as the giver of rights. John Locke did not agree with that. He believed in the idea of natural rights. Thomas Hobbes did not really give much of an opinion on where rights come from, but he believed that man in its state of nature, or mankind, is nasty, brutish, and short. Therefore, a massive centralized government, what he called the Leviathan, would be necessary. Social contract is usually referenced by people on the left saying that part of social contract is free housing and free healthcare, free food, things of that nature. And because of that, the social contract means that because God is not the grantor of rights, but government is, we have a right to all these sorts of things. I do want to be very clear, though, that our social contract, as John Locke put it, is the protection of our natural rights and liberties. If you do believe in social contract theory, as the founding fathers did, you would argue that the social contract was broken a long time ago. Now, the response to that is not necessarily in any way whatsoever what I think should be violence in that retaliation. But Joey, I appreciate the question or the comment, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do we have that clip that Andrew's referencing? Okay, so this is something that the media has ignored. This is the president talking about how he wants all demonstrations to be peaceful. He was not calling for an insurrection. Play tape.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
Peacefully and patriotically.
Make your voices heard. He was not calling for an insurrection. He was not calling for any of that. Now, mind you, that clip took us quite a while to find, believe it or not, just because he had to dig into that and, you know, kind of difficult. So, Isabel, here's a question you can help answer here. Hey, Charlie, I'm 17 years old from the Chicagoland area and about to graduate high school. I'm interested to know what high school, because that's where I grew up. It is breaking my heart to see where this country is headed. It is frustrating that so many people, especially in my generation, think what the government and big tech are doing is okay. Even people in my church are in support of these radical ideas from the left. What do you think needs to happen to unite the Republican Party to get people to start listening to what we have to say? With all the censorship we have seen, especially in the past few months, it'll be difficult to get our message out, but most definitely a fight worth having. Thank you for all you are doing to help empower all conservatives. Cameron, he wants a signed copy of the book. Isabel,
awesome.
A lot
Cameron,
of young people believe in censorship and all this. What is he supposed to do?
Say something. It's that simple. And first of all, thank you for your question. I know you're feeling similarly to most people in our generation, and that's incredibly frustrating, particularly from a religious and church standpoint. The church is no longer a conservative institution in the United States, and that's really been disappointing to see how many pastors and leaders of faith have decided to instead practice the religion of leftism
that's
rather
exactly
than
right.
the religion of Christianity. So you're not alone in that feeling either. But it starts with just saying something. It starts with speaking up. It doesn't take rocket science. And I think what I've learned more prominently in the last year and a half or so since I've been doing this media side of activism after I graduated college is that all it takes is one person being willing to stand for truth and speak truth to start a momentum and sort of a cultural revolution within the community that you're a part of. People are scared to be the first one to say something. But once they see someone else start to post videos, put things out there on the internet, to make speeches on your campus, at your church, get people registered to vote and get involved, that's when other people start feeling inspired to do the same thing. And particularly when we look at the culture of conservatism and the Republican Party, I think historically people have been content to watch historical leaders continue to speak up for them. That's why you've seen career politicians in power for decades upon decades upon decades. That has to end today. And we're starting to see new generations of leaders start to enter the political arena. Congressman Cawthorn, who we've spoken to mm-hmm. several times in the last few days, being a perfect example of that. But it starts with you taking on a position of leadership, not being content with letting other people speak for you.
That's exactly right. And I could tell you that as a young person, more speech is better. And look, the tech censorship stuff is real. So go create Rumble accounts, go create Parler accounts, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. They're not going to be able to cancel us there.
Right.
CharlieKirk.com unless they take down the whole internet, which I wouldn't put it past them of kind of where they're headed. And that's actually why I love radio. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, Charlie, why are you on radio? I'm like, look, first of all, radio still has a great listenership, but radio is going to be the last line of defense. We're going to go back to radio and all of a sudden we're going to be able to communicate to people almost uninterrupted. And so we're really proud of that. So here's a good question here. Actually, not that one. Let's go to this one. You know what? Is Rob back there? I have a question. Is Rob there? I want to bring Rob on for this question here because this is actually a really good question. So it's just about about some of the prophecy and how we're supposed to interpret that. Some people that were hey, Rob, how you doing? I got a question for you here. I'm going to put you on the spot. So everyone, welcome back, Pastor Rob. But before we – as Rob gets kind of queued up here, let's get to this question. So actually, we'll just go right to you, Rob. Is mic working?
Testing.
Good. So, Rob, here's a question. There's a lot of Christians that are watching our stream here, and this one right here is, hi, my name is Rachel. I live in Michigan. I listen to you all the time. Thank you. I'm a non-denominational Christian. I was wondering what I should make of all the prophets that have said that President Trump is going to serve a second term. We've gotten a lot of questions like this.
Sure.
How are they supposed to process this and handle this?
Yeah. In the Old Testament, if a prophet was wrong, they'd stone them. Everyone, you know, and from my vantage point, and there's charismatics out there and Calvary Chapels of who I'm affiliated with, we call cessationists, which believe certain gifts are not for today. Prophecy is one that we do hold to. But in the same regard, you can speak to the future on certain things, but to be found completely wrong and say, thus saith the Lord, you're disqualified. You got to be real careful who you're following. I call it hopium.
Yeah, I used that term the other
day,
too. Yeah,
and you know, everyone's out there, and you can get a following. You can generate traffic to your site because you're giving people hopium. But when you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And you say, thus saith the Lord, you're messing around with a statement that puts you
There's a lot of gravity behind that, right?
Seriously.
A lot of weight. I'm sorry, not gravity. But
well, yeah, because, for example, and I don't want to, you know, belabor
don't say
this.
Any names.
No, I understand. I wasn't going to use an example in that regard. When a pastor So, for example, a pastor is protected in the sense that you have to have two or three witnesses if they do something wrong. Mm-hmm. But in the same regard, if those two or three witnesses are legitimate, the consequences are far greater. So when you're out there saying, thus saith the Lord, and you're wrong, the consequences are far greater.
Yeah, there's a lot of people did do that. So yep. Thank you for clarifying that. Hey, guys, do we have clipping ability right now? Can we go back to that video with no sound, please, of them letting people in? We played it twice before. We have a lot of people coming in. I do want to comment on this. I think it's super important here. And you guys can support our program at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank some of our supporters. Alan from Idaho. Rick, you know where Sam in Idaho is, right? Where's Rick? Is Rick still there?
He's out there.
Rick's he's on the phone or something. He knows where Sam in Idaho is. You know where Sam in Idaho is?
Yes.
Someone just supported us from there.
Hey, way to go.
Yeah. So, Anthony from North Carolina, $100 a month. Thank you so much at charliekirk.com/support. Chris from Oregon, $50. Okay, let's go to this tape here. No sound or else they're going to pull down the feed, but we'll narrate it. And feel free to chime in, guys, as this happens.
Yeah.
I have a question. Why would you let them in just to tear gas them? And so there were other points of entry where they were smashing windows and stuff. But at this point of entry, it looks as if these are invited visitors or someone gave a stand down order. Let's play the tape, please, in the bottom right hand corner. So here we have here looks to be participants in the march. I don't see in this video any paraphernalia that shows any right-wing extremism, right? And it just kind of goes to show they're here. And watch very carefully as they walk in. That's a police officer right here.
Mm-hmm.
Police officer not wearing a mask. Police officer, and they're just kind of shrugging their shoulders
heads,
and saying, I guess we're going to let them in. Now, there's a couple explanations here. The police could have felt overwhelmed and they didn't want the confrontation, right?
Right.
And just said, forget it. We'll deal with this, you know, once we get a higher order. And maybe they didn't want to be known for killing somebody or doing something, which another police officer did do. Whether it was justified or not, we'll find out.
Is that an officer? No, I'm sorry.
No, that's a journalist right there with the
N95. Gotcha.
So
importantly, too, if you guys have never been to the U.S. Capitol building, that's not a door you can typically just walk through.
No.
There's a very, very extreme set of security protocols that you have to go through to make it into the Capitol building, the White House, and the Supreme Court collectively. But that's not a typical entrance that even members would use to get in the building. So that's definitely interesting to me.
So let's go back to that, though, that video. Because I want to just go to the first couple seconds and rewind it. Just look how the doors just kind of go open, though. This is an important thing. The most telling part of the video, I'll tell you when to pause it. Pause it right now. Oh, geez. We got Ben Sass. It's okay. It's hard to pause these videos midstream.
It is. It is tough.
So let's try to go back. The most telling part of the video is right here, where the doors just kind of seem to be opened from the inside.
Yeah, you can't open them from the outside. There's no way to.
I mean, they're probably locked, right?
Right.
And so that you kind of look at the side of the door there. It looks like it's a top-down lock that kind of went through. This particular video right here is not a riot.
No.
There are parts that were riot. It looks, you know, that
absolutely.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
But this just kind of looks like a seamless entry into the Capitol, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, whether they should have been there or not is a completely different question, but I haven't seen this on television.
And we likely won't.
No.
Yeah. And so another question is, why weren't the doors locked? I mean, it seems like those doors could have withstood a lot, but it just seems as if, you know, those doors weren't locked either. There's two sets of doors there.
Mm-hmm.
And those police officers don't look like they're fearing for their lives.
They inconvenienced more than
anything. No, they just kind of look like, fine,
yeah.
We'll let you through, whatever. You know, you're going to storm the Capitol. You know, we're not going
to. Now, that being said, those folks walking in and occupying the rotunda, you just shouldn't have been there. I mean, that's a given. But to be let in, there's going to be consequences. And it's all based on intentions. A lot of folks there, they had nefarious intentions.
Right.
But it seems as though those that were walking through, their intention wasn't mob-like. But I would say just what my father used to say to me, don't go where you don't belong.
Hmm.
You know, just bad things happen when you're in places you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So. And that's an unfortunate truth. And some people say, disagree with that, but that's
well, they say it's a people's house, and I understand that.
And that's correct.
Yeah.
And but the correct entry into the people's house is through one of the allowed points of entry.
Mm-hmm. Do it like everyone else does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was shut down for the day. And we did talk about earlier in the show what a mass civil disobedience would have looked like. Go to Pennsylvania Avenue, 200,000 people sit down, sing patriotic songs,
right.
Make them arrest you.
Right.
Right. Here's a good question here. Charlie, I'm a non-denominational Christian mother of five who live and go to public school in the East Bay area in California. Today I learned that some of the high school and middle school teachers have taken it upon themselves to tell the students what they believe happened at the Capitol the other day, of course. An entire generation, just so you know, has now been indoctrinated,
yep.
10 points away from conservatism because mm-hmm. of this. And some of you say that doesn't matter. You have no idea. You don't. One English teacher even told them what happened at the yesterday was a riot, not a protest, and that the BLM protests over the summer were the correct way to protest and were not riots at all. She opined that President Trump lied when he said in his speech that the election was rigged and full of fraud. Also had a similar opinion given the marine science teacher. How should I respond to the school districts as well as the teachers? Rob, do you want to start with that as a parent, as a former mayor?
Now, So
just general local involvement, how to handle this stuff when teachers get out of line.
In California, and I didn't hear what state this was, but
it's California.
Okay.
Bay Area.
Yeah. So the CTA dominates.
What is the CTA?
California Sorry. Teachers Association. Okay. It's probably one of the most it's probably the strongest political entity in California. It dominates California elections. And the CTA has dominated school boards and has purposely filled those seats and spent a lot of money to do so. You'll go in, you'll speak, and you'll probably fall on deaf ears. And they're probably not going to like my answer. Pull your kid out of the school.
Yeah.
Pull your kid out of the school.
Some people would say, I can't afford to do that. I'm just
telling you. No, I understand that.
That's a common answer we get.
I'm a pastor of five kids, and we were able to homeschool our children. We had to make
– On a pastor's salary.
On a pastor's salary.
Yeah.
And we had to make compromises. We had to live in places that you know, most people probably wouldn't have lived. You live more simply that you can – Simply
more
live.
Richly, right?
Yeah, yeah. What is your greatest asset? What is your greatest treasure? Where your treasure is, your heart is also. And the greatest treasure we possess, my wife and I, is our children. I want the best for them.
Yeah.
Why are you going to invest in baubles and trinkets and have the 3-bedroom, 2-bath with the white picket fence while you allow your kids to be indoctrinated and have to endure this when you can make a difference? It's a reestablishing of priorities.
Yeah.
And we've survived in California and raised those five kids, and they all walk with the Lord, and they're all conservatives.
Were you homeschooled, Isabel?
I attended private school for most of my life.
Were your sisters home? Someone was homeschooled.
None of us were homeschooled.
You guys act like you were all homeschooled.
now let me
add. We had very lucky opportunities
your parents
to learn
are
from great.
Great
teachers
let
as well.
Let me add this.
So.
Our children were homeschooled, but when they got to a certain place, some we allowed to go into public school, some went into private school, some completely homeschooled. Mm-hmm. It was all dependent on what they were prepared for, and we've done every single form of schooling there is.
The other thing is my parents took a really active role when I was growing up to supplement our education by literally just talking to their children about what was happening in the world around them, explaining this person is running for president and this is what they believe in. Here's what your dad and I believe, but here's what the opposite side believes. And
yeah.
really taking the time to have a holistic conversation mm-hmm. with us as children, not waiting for us to grow up, exposed us to so many different ways of thinking, understanding how the world worked, having our challenging perspectives, you know, get to duke it out at the dinner table, and way too many children lack that yeah. opportunity in the United States today.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, of course.
Proverbs says, raise a child in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they won't depart thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are stewards. They've been entrusted with the lives of these children, and they are accountable before God, and they can't blame public school teachers. They can't blame the public school system. They are accountable. So you are required to do the best for your child and raise them in the way that they should go, and according to their bend, no one knows your kid better than you.
So this is a question from someone in Denver, Colorado.
Woohoo! My people.
Hey, Charlie. I'm a 15-year-old from Denver, Colorado, and I go to Regis Jesuit High School. My question is, how do you see the Republican Party coming back from falling behind in the Senate and other areas of government when we see these urban Democratic cities growing at an exponential rate? Love your work, Charlie. Thank you for being honest and faithful leader in a time like this. Thank you. Also, I see my generation moving towards the socialist agenda, and it scares me. He's a 15-year-old.
He's a smart kid.
I mean – there's more 15-year-olds that I've seen rise up than 50-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we draw these kids back into the constitutional loving generation? This kid's 15 years old. Hmm. Isabel, he's an enlightened Coloradoan.
Yes, you are.
Help answer his question. He's worried about the generation going to socialism, worried about where's the future of the party going?
You know, I'm not sure that there is necessarily a strong future for the Republican Party as we've known it historically, but that's not a bad thing. And we've been presented with a very unique set of circumstances in the beginning of 2021 to evaluate what types of qualities we want in the people who we elect to lead us. We don't always get opportunities to reflect on that. And this is a very, very crucial time in history for conservatives in this country to direct the future of the Republican Party or the conservative movement, or you can enter any other name into that sentence, for the first time in a very long time. I think the concept of establishment politics has gone out the window on both sides of the aisle.
But
that's a good thing. And it takes young people like you being willing to speak up and say something. I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to older audiences within the last year and a half or so, even to conservative and Republican audiences, and been told, you're 23, you don't have enough quote unquote life experience to talk about this and be educated and influence culture. That could not be further off base. It was young people that determined what the United States of America were going to be in the first place, and we have an opportunity to direct the future of conservative politics in the future.
That's a great answer. Kathleen Hoffman sent us an email. She's a good supporter of ours. I just heard your idea regarding how Wednesday could have gone. Well, why can't that happen on Inauguration Day? Patriots everywhere could gather and sing songs, country's great songs. There's many beautiful songs to tell the great story of America. Inspired. It should. What a great kind of contrast to show that the Trump movement was not defined this last Wednesday. And again, if you're going to then go civilly disobedient because you don't believe that the election results are valid, let's go through what the rules of civil disobedience are as embraced by effectiveness and a moral compass. Right. So you can resist in a moral framework. But what happened on Wednesday, those people that were smashing windows and all that, was not. Here's the rules as defined by the great Henry David Thoreau. Number one, you must be willing to accept the punishment.
Right.
You do not run away. You don't run masks. You pay the full price.
Yep.
Number two, you must have a clear goal in mind. You're not protesting just because you're generally angry. You're trying to accomplish something specific, an election audit, changes in election state law, something specific. Number three, you've exhausted all other options. In this case, I think that we have satisfied that. Number four, though, it's very important.
Critical.
You don't destroy people's stuff and you don't hurt people. That is the doctrine of civil disobedience. If Trump supporters out there did these four things on Wednesday, I will be there supporting you. Mm-hmm. I will be there backing you, and you will win over public opinion. You will do more to advance the cause than going and just burning a bunch of stuff like a, you know.
When we had agreed with the elders of the church, with the staff, the congregation, that we were going to defy the governor's order when he said that the church was non-essential and that we would violate the emergency restraining order of the judge, we knew what the consequences were. And I'd actually contacted the sheriff and I said, there'll be no resistance from us. You come and arrest me, we're going to face the consequences.
Amen.
But you're going to get that optic. You're going to have to arrest us. We're not going to contend with you, but you're going to have to arrest us. And we were willing to lose everything and still are, but we're in no way going to be violent. That just isn't perfect. And then I would add this, and the great Congressman Bob McEwen, he said to an individual, said, you know, we're getting a million people to march on Washington. And it was during an election season. And he said, what do you think that costs to get a million people to Washington, airfare, transportation, rental
logistics,
car, hotels, logistics? And he said, I don't know. And he says, could that money be used more profoundly in an election? Maybe using that energy to walk precincts, maybe using that energy to be poll watchers, maybe. And we want to say something, but like you profoundly pointed out to me, Charlie, Florida had no corruption, irregularities. In California, we won some areas
despite
massive shenanigans. It's where people participate in the process. We've gone through this in California. Yeah. People worked hard to get Garcia in.
Well, let's
seat.
Talk about this, Rob. So you live in California. People are saying, I'm never going to vote again. Everything is broken.
Stupid.
The world is
stupid.
But you live in California.
I do.
And let's talk about three races, congressional races.
Right.
And this is that all of a sudden Republicans won, even though there was a broken system and all this.
Yep.
But I think part of it, though, Rob, Youngkim, Yep. Michelle Steele, Mike Garcia. I think part of it, though, is post 2018, a lot of Republicans all of a sudden got alert. They were like, we're going to become election judges, right? We're going to all of a sudden put pressure on local county officials. I'm sure there was still a bunch of nonsense. But there was less than 2018, and enough Republicans rose up to make up the difference, right?
And you got to remember, Garcia won twice. He won the first time in the provisional election, which had a remaining time for Katie Hill's seat, and then he had to win again. And he did that both times in a district that really wasn't favoring him. And then Young Kim lost the first time, but she was back in Washington, and they found these ballots.
And they found the ballots.
Yeah,
right?
And all of a sudden she had to go back. Well, she didn't give up.
Yeah.
She didn't give up.
And now she's a congresswoman.
And now she's a congresswoman.
And Gil Cisneros isn't.
In California. And for all those folks who want to give up, those are the folks that are sending the visceral emails. They're listening to the hopium. They don't step out of their armchair. And you've got to go – you're waiting for it to just
– be solved for you.
Yeah. And well, you're also waiting for it to be so bad that you get to do what you've always dreamed of because you think that's always been – you've been doing this prepping your whole life. Come on. This is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We got here because of the apathy and the inactivity. Turn it around. Participate. Don't give up. Don't quit.
Yeah,
seriously.
And don't overly generalize the entire U.S. system. There are states that are backwards and broken and all this. But incredibly, California led the charge on all this mail-in balloting nonsense. But despite all of it, in 2020, Republicans made serious gains in the congressional races.
Yeah.
And so that goes to show that things can get better. Now, is California where we need it to be, or are illegals voting and all that? That stuff really needs to get figured out. I totally agree with that. However, you went from catastrophe to better. Okay. Well, all of a sudden, then you ask yourself the question, why has – it's really interesting. When I was listening to the Electoral College results and Vice President Pence asked, are there any objections to the state of Florida? No one objected.
No.
Democrat didn't object.
No. Nope.
Republican didn't object. That's the third or fourth largest state in the country that Donald Trump won by 400,000 votes, yet everyone agrees with it. Well, Florida's doing something right.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you can get fair and free elections. And Florida used to be a state that was razor-thin margins, 10,000 votes, nonsense and shenanigans in Broward County, yet they fixed it. How? Because citizens got really fed up with the way things were.
You're getting angry in the swamp and you're tired of the swamp. And so you
and
all
get it.
And you all descend on the swamp. But don't forget the swamp is the place where the source of the water ends up after it collects all the trash. You want to change the swamp, change the source. Source is always local. You can have a profound effect. And today's dog catcher is tomorrow's Congress member.
Amen.
So participate in local government. Do your job. You can make a difference in a community. It's because we've abdicated our responsibility with a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people. We want someone else to do it or we quit.
Importantly, too, something we can learn from Florida is that they didn't wait until the next presidential election or even gubernatorial election. They went out and they knocked on doors and they registered millions of people to vote before DeSantis's election a few years ago.
They rose up and they sued. They put pressure. They never put their eyes off the Miami-Dade County supervisors or the Broward County supervisors. And they demanded change.
Right.
The activists did.
Yeah.
And now Florida is one of the most conservative, open, religiously tolerant states that I think is a blueprint. And so, look, I would be where you guys are if every state was like this. But Florida, by 9:30 Eastern – can anyone show me any allegation of voter fraud in Florida that's substantive?
Yeah. And they were done counting.
I could show you a stack in Georgia and Arizona. So here's the difference. What happened? Answer. The Florida Republican Party was run by the grassroots, people not in the armchairs, people really, you know, focusing where we want things to go. And Florida was an active, robust, bottom-up party. Georgia was not. Georgia was an apathetic, this is always going to be a Republican state type thing where the Democrats were motivated and well-funded with weak Republicans. Well, now you have an opportunity to fix that, everybody.
Yeah.
You do.
You do.
Here's a good question. Hi, Charlie. I'm a 16-year-old junior in high school. I'm sickened by all my classmates and friends spreading leftist lies, including BLM poster in my cafeteria. Should I speak up and voice my opinion and in doing so risking backlash? Also, can I get some info on starting a TPUSA chapter? I feel my high school really needs it.
Yes.
So Isabel, should he speak up? Will he lose friends? What's the blueprint there?
I hesitate to tell people one way or another whether they should make that difficult choice of speaking up or not, because it is a deeply personal choice that has ramifications socially, academically, online with your career prospects potentially, especially if you're a college student. So it is a deeply personal choice to make. I eventually hit what I like to call my breaking point in college, where I kind of just snapped and I said, you know, I'm tired. I'm tired of not seeing anyone advocate for the things I believe in. I'm tired of seeing all these BLM posters line the hallways of my dorm and my student government office. I'm tired of the silence from the right. So I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to say something about it. And it was the best decision I ever made, but it didn't come without its consequences. And so I think that's a personal choice that you might have to make,
yeah.
But it's 100% worth it. And the number of people that will be inspired by your decision to use your voice to speak up, to fight the man, so to speak, of your teachers and your administration, that starts something that's so much bigger than yourself on campus.
I've watched you, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
You are civil, you're kind, but you're persuasive and you don't back down. You don't have to be a jerk, but you also don't have to compromise. The scripture says, speak the truth in love. And to do that, you respect the person you're talking to. And every time they revile you, you don't revile back. Yeah. That's the ticket. Speak up, but do it wisely. Mm-hmm.
And also, if you do speak up, before you do, pray about it. And just know, you are going to probably lose some friends. You will not be the one that will be severing.
Right.
But that is somewhat inevitable. I always tell people the proper disclaimers ahead of time. Here's a good question here. Good afternoon, Charlie. My name is Jalen. I'm a 20-year-old from Florida. My father told me I sold my soul because I'm a young black conservative. What should I tell him and how can I learn more about the Republican Party? Love the show, by the way, Jalen Matthews. Well, first of all, God bless you. Welcome aboard in the Republican Party. I'm going to send you a signed copy of my book, which I think will be informative of what the Republican Party stands for. This is a hard thing, but don't take that seriously. That is an emotionally driven insult. That is not something I think he actually even believes. He believes the Republicans to be something they are not. The Republican Party has always been and will always be the party of liberation of people that are currently in a less than desirable situation to elevate the individual above the, let's say, the false lies of the collective. The Democrats are always about trying to keep people in a collective at a certain position by telling them they are not enough, by telling them they don't have the skills or possess the capacity to rise above. The Republican Party ended slavery. The Republican Party has always been the party against racism, and it is today. Despite what people tell you on television, despite what people tell you in school and otherwise, the Republican Party has always been the party that has not cared about people's skin color, but instead cared about people's character and values. And I'll prove it to you. Joe Biden yesterday came out and said that if this was a BLM incorporated rally, the police officers would have shot all of the people in the Capitol. I think we have a tape of this, don't we, Connor? I'm going to prove to you how racist the Democrat Party is. Play tape.
No one can tell me that if had been a group of Black Lives Matter protesting yesterday, they wouldn't have been treated very, very differently than the mob of thugs that stormed the Capitol.
So you might say, well, where's the racism? He's calling the police officers inherently racist by saying they would have acted in a certain violent way automatically just because the people there would have been black instead of white. Judging people based on their immutable characteristics, judging all the police in that fashion. So keep the faith. Thank you for the question, and I hope to meet you soon. Get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's see here. Let's get this question right here. Hey, Charlie, I'm Dane. I just want to spread a reminder whether or not we're oppressed as conservatives. God is in control. I'm sure the Israelites held in slavery by Egypt or even the New Testament Christians that we read were truly inspired by the Bible would be willing to trade places with us. Despite the negatives we're facing in our country, God is still beyond good and blesses us each and every day. Amen. And no politician can ever take away our salvation. It's the one thing that no one can take. Great message, Dane. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. Hi, Charlie. My name is Stacey Maines. I'm a 38-year-old single mom that listens to your show. Obviously not in college, but I think Brazos County, Texas could use a Turning Point chapter. Am I too old for this? Thanks for all your work. Well, we have other ways that you can get involved. I'm going to email that to our team here, and we're going to get you engaged and get involved. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here is Ireland. Here's one for you, Isabel. Mm-hmm. My name is Ireland. What a great name.
I love that name.
I'm a 15-year-old Christian conservative that just moved to Los Angeles from Northern California before the first lockdown. I started homeschooling in the middle of my freshman year. I've been getting a lot of pressure from my dad and other people in my family to go to college. My mom is the only one that thinks I should do what is right for me. I personally don't want to go to college, and I don't think I need it to achieve my dream. I believe that most of it is a scam, and they're stealing money. People's money, especially since in Los Angeles, the majority of people here, our schools are liberal. Do you have any advice on this matter and things that I could do to say to my family so they can stop pressuring me into something I don't want to do? Hmm. Also, thank you so much for what you do. I listen to your podcast. You inspire me. So, Isabel, you went to Colorado State and Georgetown.
And Georgetown.
You are much more educated than me, where I went nowhere.
Yeah.
So you've spent a lot of money on education, a lot of time. What can you say to Ireland here? What advice do you have?
I know we've talked about this on your podcast before, all the craziness of this week, too. So I'm glad somebody asked us recently again, because if I was making the choice today, this year, whether or not to attend college, I wouldn't go for a lot of reasons, mainly because college means almost nothing in the midst of COVID-19. Even all of my friends in the hard sciences, in engineering, in hands-on education, where you need to be present in a lab learning about things, aren't present in the lab. They're being emailed pictures of cadavers for anatomy class rather than interacting with things in real time in person. So first of all, I'm very concerned for the future doctors of America. We should
That's
not
right.
forget that. But second of all, I say this as someone who loves learning. I love school. I love the pursuit of truth. I love objective knowledge out there. And I love just trying to challenge my way of thinking in as many ways as possible. I was the biggest nerd growing up. I was as an adult in school. I always got made fun of it. But if that's not something that you inherently love, what drives you, what's your passion every day, college will be miserable for you because that's what it's supposed to be all about. If you have a dream that's in a completely different direction, go pursue that. We are so fortunate to live in the United States of America where you don't need a college degree to build a business empire, to go after your dream, and most importantly, just to turn your American dream into a reality. No one else can tell you what that looks like but you. And even if you're receiving lots of pressure from your family, from the people around you, your dream is so much more important than what other people see for your life.
Amen. So here's a good test of what to do. Take out a piece of paper and write uninterruptedly why you want to go to college. And then on another piece of paper, ask yourself the question, honestly, write to yourself, is it worth borrowing $100,000 to justify the piece of paper you just wrote? Then on another piece of paper, ask yourself the question, what is it you really want to do with your life? Because that's the opportunity to do it. Maybe it's be a mentee under a carpenter. Maybe it's to travel, join the military. Now's the time to do it. As soon as you enter college, there's a reason why the left wants so many people to go to college. It restricts your freedom. As soon as you have financial debt, all of your decisions are made differently, yeah. All of them. And so not going to college was the greatest decision for me, but it might be the greatest decision for you. Only you know that. But to say that everyone must go to college and it's a mandatory rite of passage is not the case at all whatsoever. Why are you going to college is the best question that you need to ask yourself. Rob, you have some personal experience with this super quick. Then I want to get to this question.
Sure. Five kids. My two oldest are married. They didn't go to college, although they're brilliant. My middle child is in college. My next child is in college. They're both debt free. And my youngest, who's 19, though accepted to a number of universities, is working at Turning Point.
He's doing a great job too.
And he knows the why and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue. I told him, I don't care what you do. What's the why and what you're doing? And he examined it, took that job. I watched that kid mature faster than any of the others. Bam, like that. And he's debt free.
That's what going to college can do for you. It can do. Other kids might go in a different direction. And
my other boy's doing great too. He's at University
he's gonna
of San
be a
Diego.
Navy SEAL, yeah. Yeah, so it's
midshipman first class.
He will be. But compliment to all the parents out there. Be like Rob, where you have an open mind and you don't care about the credential. Because for Rob, you're like, I don't care about the piece of paper. I don't need to tell Sally Sue Marie, my neighbor, that my kid goes to Cornell, right? No, but a lot of that, though, is actually drives it. Yeah. And you could see it in the stickers that people put on the back of their cars, Stanford mom, you know, Princeton mom. And that's fine. You should be proud.
Parents, are you that insecure that you need your children?
You're saying it. I'm not. But
I'll say it because I'm 56 years old. I'm with you. You're not that insecure. You don't need to do that. Don't put that pressure on your kids to live vicariously through them. You don't have to do it. Let them change the nation and do what God's called them to do. Let them know the why and what they're doing.
Avery has emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, yesterday after the events at the Capitol building, I was feeling extremely stressed, upset, and just isolated. I listened to your podcast, and right now, I'm currently listening today. Yesterday, I came out of the political closet to a close liberal friend. I spilled my guts about my feelings and what changed my mind and how alone I feel. We had an excellent debate. We did not agree on a lot of things, but they did not turn their back on me. I've spent years hiding my true thoughts and feelings, trying to avoid the fallout, and I felt so free and firm yesterday. Thank you for lifting us up and giving us excellent advice and guidance. I also told them if they want to get some good information from the other side of the fence, they should check you out. God bless you, Charlie Kirk. Thank you, Avery. That's so kind. And we're going to send you a book. And I want to just say the way you described that felt like I was reading a 1980s someone that was gay coming out of the closet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is what that sounded like.
Yeah.
And Dave Rubin has made that comparison before. That's not anything new. God bless you, Avery. That's so kind.
Yeah,
thank
God
you.
God bless you.
Let's get to some more questions here. freedom@charliekirk.com. Before I do, I want to thank some of our supporters here at charliekirk.com/support. Lucy from Alabama, Hoover, Alabama. She's probably upset that I said go Buckeyes. She's probably upset about that. You know, so Rob, we were talking about the great tragedy of Nancy Pelosi will forever go down, that she is going to introduce articles of impeachment during the national championship. I'm going to have a screen with the national title game going on in the bottom left and the impeachment. And then Jonathan from Manhattan Beach, $10 a month. Thank you so much. Quick question. So many 15 and 16 and 17-year-olds.
I love our high schoolers. Just as an aside,
are going to save the country.
I got chills every time you say that. It's awesome.
I'm telling you, they are.
Bless you guys.
Hello there. I'm a 15-year-old conservative living in Southwest Washington.
Oof.
I'm homeschooled, so I have more spare time than regular school. Your parents are wise. I've been tuning in to many, many streams and learning how I can spread awareness and become more educated in what's going on. Here's the question. My father says that I should probably stop being invested in this. I know as a Christian I should stop if he really wants me to. But I haven't been interested or motivated in doing something and learning my entire life. Then this moment, what should I do? I know this might be a hard question to answer. I apologize for that. Stay strong, y'all. So Tatiana here is homeschooled, Southwest Washington. She does not want to disobey her parents or dishonor them. But she feels convicted to fight in this. As a Christian, what should she do, Rob? Great question.
Honor your mother and father. It'll go well with you. You live long on the earth. You appeal to the king. You articulate. If you can't articulate to your parents and seek their approval and because they love you and you're laying that out and the case for why you want to do what you want to do, then you're not really prepared to do that with those that would contend with you. So you want to honor them. God put them in your life so that they are that sounding board to process that. They want the best for you, but show them why this is something that is good for you. And show them that reasoning. And it's how God sharpens you. Don't despise them. I mean, if they're asking you to do something that is immoral or wrong.
Or against God's law.
Or against God's law, step away. But
yeah. I would also say this, though. Ask them a question like, hey, Dad, can I show you why I'm so passionate
about
this?
There it is.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I like this live stream and I'm learning more about this. And so that would be my recommendation.
When my daughter comes to me and says, Daddy, I want to marry this guy. Check this out. Tell me why. But when my son comes and says, "Hey, I'm really sweet on this girl," my assessment of him is, "Are you prepared to be a provider and a protector for her?" I'm like, "Is this guy prepared to be a provider and a protector?" Mm. You got to convince me. I'm the gatekeeper. So.
I'm the judge.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, exactly. You have to be persuasive there. It's really, really well said. So let me go to this one here. freedom@charliekirk.com. Some people are asking, where can I get that hat? ShopTPUSA.com. ShopTPUSA.com.
We got all kinds of good new designs up there,
too. In fact, I'm going to give away a signed hat right now. All you have to do is subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Take out your podcast provider. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Hit subscribe. And for those of you on the stream that are on YouTube, if you could do me a favor and just hit that subscription bell, the more people that hit that bell and the more people that hit subscribe – the harder it is for them to censor us.
Yeah.
The harder it is for them to kick us off. If we have grassroots amounts of people hitting that button, It really is hard. I know that might seem like nothing, but it really, really does help us out, and we're really blessed by that. Someone says, college is not for everyone. Hey, Charlie, I just want to let you know I'm 21 and not attending college. I've worked as a corporate recruiter in our family's business since I was 14. No debt, more freedom to my time. I'm making money. I can still participate in my local Turning Point USA group, University of Dayton. I would highly recommend this to anyone. Thanks for the show. I watch almost every minute of it. God bless, Grace. God bless you, Grace. I get a lot of emails from you. If I haven't sent you a book, I will now. I was saying, though, we are giving away a hat. All you have to do is subscribe and email it to us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I don't know if I was as clear about that. Here's a good question for you, Rob. Sarah Beth. Charlie, I love your podcast and watched you on Facebook almost every day. Thank you. I'm a mom of two young boys. I also homeschool and am a Christian. I knew you grew up in Arlington Heights, Illinois. We live in Addison. Can you please recommend a church in this area that preaches the uncompromising word of God?
That's going to require some research.
No, I'm gonna answer it from a local, but I want you to answer it more generally because the question is for all the other viewers. So,
sure.
So bear with me for a sec. A church that does not teach critical race theory or has sold out the BLM re-education that has crept into churches due to the events of the last year. Love your show, Sarah Beth. First of all, Sarah, thank you for that. I'm going to have to see kind of where the church I grew up in, Harvest Bible Chapel, is.
Yeah.
I could tell you that Willow Creek has gone full BLM, and I don't know if there's a Calvary out in Chicago where their stance is. But Rob, can you talk more broadly about where people should make their church decisions when it comes to these sorts of issues, what they should look for in a church, how they should do that? We're getting a lot of questions about that.
Yeah. So in a constitutional republic, and this is what we're doing, a moral people can govern a republic, the church is critical. It's a critical component. That's why they gave us the First Amendment. We're the counselors to the king, we the people. So churches have to be engaged in politics, which is the highest form of community because it includes morality and sociability. That's what Aristotle said. So if your church is not political, meaning it's not educating its congregation on what it means to be an operating citizen in the United States of America and how to deal with issues, avoid the church. If your church isn't open right now because of this
nonsense
of the virus, avoid that church. Find another one. Now, this is a refiner's fire. A lot of churches are dissipating. We're watching Russell Moore. Did you see the latest with that? It's frustrating. So I would just encourage all of you, find churches that are stepping into the ecclesia, the public square. Secondly, find a church that is open and doesn't buy in to this scam.
Well, and I want to add into what Rob said.
Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, I would say expository teaching, certainly.
And it's one thing to be involved in the ecclesia, but also make sure they're doing it correctly.
Yeah.
Because some churches have become hyper-political recently.
Yeah.
But it would be better if they actually didn't.
You're examining the ecclesia based on the scriptures themselves, not based on your preferences and what you want.
Or critical race theory.
Or critical race theory. That's exactly right. So the center theme of the church has to be the Bible itself. Christ, the inerrancy of scripture, the deity of Christ, the Trinity, those are non-negotiables in seeking out a church. And that good Bible teaching, you're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. It's the whole counsel of God's word. You want the entire counsel of God's word because the best illustration for the scriptures is the scriptures themselves. And it speaks to every issue that we face as a nation and as a people. It talks on immigration. It talks on the economy. It talks on capitalism. It talks about socialism. It talks about representative government. You just got to search it and see it. So find a church that does that. Few, but there'll be more. We're working on it.
That's a great answer. Someone says this. It's a little bit of critical to me, and that's okay. I've been loyal to you, Charlie. God bless you. Thank you. You're being disingenuous when you gaslight and highlight rhetorical questions from Chuck Schumer, such as, quote, I'm surprised this is happening. Most of us know the drill here. Chuck is not surprised. Please don't ask the question or answer it. It wastes our time. Okay. A better question is, if Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Flynn, General McInerney said they have evidence – and it's just told us to wait for it. What are your comments on them? Crickets. Flynn, at least, was the top national security advisor promoted by Obama twice. Told us they had servers in Frankfurt. What the heck? No comment. Well, look, I would love to see some of this evidence. I'm open-minded to it. I went sentence by sentence of this Italian thing, and I said, in David Hume-inspired skepticism, show me the evidence. I looked at the affidavits and all this stuff. We'll be open-minded. However, I have not seen any evidence that servers were obtained in Frankfurt. I've heard people say that, but show me the evidence. That's all I'm saying. So I'm happy to entertain anything. For example, We got 200 emails yesterday saying that Mike Pence was going to be shot for treason at Guantanamo Bay. That is not true. You know, you just have to kind of go through things and say things.
And the president was headed to Texas.
Yeah, he did not go to Texas.
Yeah, that's we got that one.
So we got that one. Okay, let's go to the next. I just want to – I don't want to only say positive. And by the way, God bless you. Thank you for that question, and I hope you keep listening. I know there's a lot of people that are frustrated, and I'm not above criticism. I mean that.
So you aren't. You take it.
Email it to me, and I'll self-correct if that's there. Okay. This is an email. I'm very concerned. Hello, I'm 23 years old, and I've grown really concerned about the future of the country. You should be. It seems as though the checks and balances that our government is based on is no longer applicable. Is this a reasonable concern? Also, it seems as though the Democrats are unified, making them powerful and dangerous. The one thing that can stop them unilaterally controlling our country is the principle of voting. With half the country losing faith in all voting, what can we possibly do? Well, Rob, walk us through what happened in California. People lost faith in all elections, but you guys decided to do the opposite in California.
Yeah.
You tried to harvest ballots legally yourself. Right?
Yeah, churches are harvesting the ballots. The Democrats laid it out. We got beat the first time like a rented mule. And then we started to have the churches collect the ballots just like they would allow everyone else to collect them. So we played by their rules and we started to win some.
And also people signed up to be election judges.
Yep.
They decided to sign up through ballot supervisors, all those sorts of things, right? And California is still a Democrat state, but there are three less Democrat Congress people now than there were. Very, very big.
Yeah, and I ran for office. And I didn't know my elbow from my earlobe when I first ran, and I got beat in the general election. I won the primary against my own party that spent $1 million against me in the primary. So even the Republican Party was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But I did win the mayor spot by 52 votes and then later by thousands. So you can do this.
Votes.
Yeah, the first time, 52 votes. You know what you call somebody who wins by 52 votes?
The winner.
That's right.
All right, here we go. Hello, sir. I'm a 15-year-old Christian conservative living in southeastern Iowa. He's not giving up.
No.
I know my age. I know that many my age despise me precisely because of my beliefs. What do I say to combat this hate? I'm told to be polite and do my best. I suppose my homeschooling assists me a bit. However, in online circles, I'm really treated poorly. Thank you. Isabel, can you help?
People say things behind the cover of a screen that they would never say to your face. And that's wildly unfortunate, but that's becoming more and more common as more of our lives are moved to an online platform. We're seeing so many things being put through a screen now because of COVID-19, our school, our church, our interactions with our friends, our interactions with our family members. And so that divisive rhetoric is just continuing to heat up more and more and more, and people are saying worse things. That's wildly unfortunate, but that doesn't mean you have to fall into the same trap. And I think it's very easy to play the game of the other side. If you can't beat them, join them, sort of a mentality. But if you continue to treat others with kindness and respect and patience more than anything else, not only will you have an opportunity to gain their respect, but more importantly, you'll have a chance to change their mind. And I think we discount that a lot. When we come to political divisiveness, we say we're never going to agree. We never have a chance to change anyone's mind. I'm in this camp. You're in that camp. That is not true. And the people I have been the most effective with in changing their mind and getting them to accept a new way of thinking has always been through patience, kindness, and respect.
Amen. That's so well put. Anything to add to that?
Being reviled, revile not. You know, don't return what you've received.
Mm-hmm.
And I already said it. The way you do it, they just attack you. They do the character assassination, or they attempt to attack you. You don't deal with that. You don't respond in the same way. Just deal with the facts.
Amen. Yeah. So we have some new watchers and some new viewers here. Do we have a clipping ability really quick? Can I play that? Can we play that video in the bottom right again that we've been playing of the police letting people in? I just think it's important. People are coming in and out.
Yeah.
And so let's play this on the. Can you just put it in the bottom third? Thank you. Play tape. So as you see here, there are march participants here that were let in. Those doors could be locked, as you can see on the side there. Those are locks. So those could have been locked. So somebody, look, there's someone holding the door. Oh, my goodness. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back.
There is.
There's someone holding the door. I just saw that. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back.
Yep.
By the way, we had the best team ever here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Can you go slower or no?
Yes.
Yeah. Go. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now go play it, and then I'll tell you when to pause it in real time. It's okay. Thank you, guys. We have the best clipping team out there. This stuff's not easy technically to do. Two screens and all this and no sleep. hold on. There's someone. You can see their there hand is. Holding the door.
Yep.
Boom. That guy right there. That is a police officer holding the door open.
See, I have a hard time.
Not just letting them in, but saying, please, welcome.
Right. It's the people's house.
Did we see that before, Connor? That's new, right? That's new.
Charlie, investigative.
Someone says, I don't think that's a cop. I don't know. He's dressed like the other cop, so play it. Play it. And then watch what the other cops look like.
Yeah, as we enter the doorway here, we'll see.
He looks like a cop. So now that cop's in all black with a hat. Now look what the other cops look like. Pretty similar. So could be.
Could
Someone's holding the door that looks exactly like that. That guy looks like, I don't know who that is either.
A door that opens from the inside.
Yeah,
right.
Which could have been locked.
Right.
So we will see. We'll see. Their people are emailing us a lot about this, so I want to make sure I covered it. Wouldn't it be strange to let people in and then gas them?
Right.
Kind of strange.
If the point was to prevent people from getting into the building to begin with, I'm not sure why doors were being held open for people to peacefully march up the
stairs. Well, at least let them
in
at the very, very least. So let's get to some more questions here. Freedom at charliekirk.com. Thank you for pulling that up, guys. Charlie, huge fan of your show. Good friends with Jeff. I won't say the last name. He talks very highly of you. Question, if we won in a landslide and yet all the evidence of fraud wasn't looked at, what stops the Democrats from doing the same thing in the future? They did in previous election. Won't it be easier for them in 4 years to cheat because of total government control? Keep up the good fight. Chance. Thank you. Freedom at charliekirk.com. That email. We have to have a revolution to make every election like Florida across the country. Yeah. If you like – no one is saying that Florida was stolen. Everyone
right.
says that that was a pure election and Trump won a battleground state by 400,000 votes. Let's be solution oriented, everybody.
Yeah, solutions.
Right? Let's think creative. That's what makes us Americans and not French, okay? We don't complain for a living. We solve for a living. That's what we do. No, seriously.
No, I agree.
All the French do is complain all day long. They're professional complainers
it's
and they
true.
Never get anything substantive done. We're Americans. So we find a problem. We look at it. How do I solve it? How do I think entrepreneurially about this? Okay. Ron DeSantis has got it figured out. Brian Kemp, go learn from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be positive about things. It's doom and gloom. We're never going to win anything again. Okay. Again, there's a whole country dedicated to that philosophy and it's not here.
And you're going to say, yeah, those four counties, yeah, those four cities. They had Dade County. They've got the same.
They have more fraud
they have more
in Dade
fraud
County
potential
and Broward
that they
County.
Anywhere.
They used to doubt, but they put it out and all of there. Some people are emailing us saying that may be a cop. It might not be a cop. So for those of you watching the live stream from Media Matters, prove us otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay. It could be. The point is that that is a door that locked in from the inside that was open. That we know for sure. Okay. Let's get to another question here. Conservative mother. It's a good question here because you have some grandkids that are how old? Five, six?
Six.
It's right around here.
Three.
Hey, Charlie, how do I explain to my 9-year-old daughter what's going on? She goes back to school on Monday, and I'm sure something will be said. Luckily, I live in a conservative town, but it's a public school. Thank you. That's a good question for moms out there with young kids. How do they unpack all this?
So my daughter walked my grandson through it. He was devastated. He had been praying, and he wanted all these things. And to give a perspective to allow them to see that, you know, God's still in control. This is a season that we're learning something, and we need to see what it is he's wanting to show us. Recalibrating, giving them a perspective to realize that God moves in the affairs of men and to give them a grounding so they don't feel as though someone's movement or someone's efforts is going to somehow devastate your life. They're not in control of your life. God is sovereign. He's got you. Trust him.
Amen. So let's we're going to get this clip right here that just got sent to us. Let's trust you guys are going to see it as I see it as we put it up here. Do we have some breaking news from Senator Joe Manchin? Breaking. Senator Joe Manchin said he will absolutely oppose $2,000 payments to Americans, denying hopes for another spending bill. In a stunning turn of events, a Democrat from West Virginia is more fiscally conservative than most Republicans.
Shocking.
Unbelievable. Okay, here we go. Sam here. Hey, Charlie, I'm 14 years old from St. Charles, Illinois. Woo-hoo! Do you guys see a pattern here of all these,
15,
these teenagers that are standing? We owe it to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
To leave them a better country, everybody, and to keep fighting. You owe it to these teenagers.
I'm with you.
Right? It's awesome. From St. Charles, Illinois. And I have a few questions. How would I be able to work for Turning Point and what age is required? I, you know, I love it. Yeah. Kids
I do
want
too.
To join. I just love it. And I think it's something that I'd strive doing. Thanks, my man. Why don't you give a plug to How to Start a Chapter, Isabel?
Well, starting a chapter is a great place to start. And we do have part-time staff members across the country acting as campus coordinators, which might be the best solution for you as you get out of high school and into college. So that's one way to join our team. If you go to tpusa.com/get involved, someone from our team can help you to find out if there's already a chapter at your school and how to start one.
tpusa.com/get involved. And if you want this beautiful gear, it's shoptpusa.com. Are we able to put up that clip, Connor, that I sent you right in there? I have not seen this clip yet, so you guys are all going to be seeing it as I see it and kind of see how we unpackage and analyze. It's new evidence. According to a new video, proves that Antifa responsible for capital breach. Okay, we'll watch the video, and we'll look at this through our best David Hume analyzing data.
Here we go.
Right? Being skeptical, show us the evidence, mm-hmm. and stripping ourselves of any bias, right?
I'm ready.
That's what we do. Okay, and the audio, I am told, is important. The crowd says, quote, stop Antifa. So Trump person taps lightly, then stops, then big Trump guy stops in to stop. Mm. Again, we'll look at this. Our team is putting that together. In the meantime, Morgan says, I'm 14 years old. In the next election, I will be able to vote. Who do you think will be the top runner for conservatives, and what do you think the focus should be? Thank you. I'll enjoy the show.
Isabel will be.
I'm actually not old enough.
Oh, I want you to be
2032, I'll be old.
You're rocking.
I will say this. It doesn't matter. Yeah. What does matter is the ideas and what they stand for.
Yep.
And that the stopping the endless wars, MAGA doctrine agenda continues on. That's really what matters the most, is restricting immigration, fighting for the American worker, challenging entrenched corporate interests, mm-hmm. and unapologetically declaring our rights come from God, not from government.
Amen.
You were talking about California, a state that has been inundated by secular progressive liberalism. You walk in to your central committee as a Republican and you offer to volunteer. Within one election cycle, you will be sitting on that board. You'll be one of the folks that will be able to drive the platform for that area. And then within a short amount of time, you'll be at the Capitol of Sacramento with all Republicans contending for the platform of the California Republican Party. So educate yourself, mm-hmm. step in and volunteer. And next thing you know, you're going to be driving the narrative.
Amen. And right now, we need more activism than ever before.
Yeah.
It's really important. Let me get to this question here, freedom@charliekirk.com. Hi, Charlie. I'm a Buddhist follower who's been taking all the information of our election system for the past year and a half. God bless you. Thank you for watching.
Yeah.
I try to take in all of the independent media I can. After all the podcasts and video I've watched and listened to, I believe that the government could have avoided the tension if they just listened to the people. I agree with that. I tell my liberal friends, if there is evidence so refutable, why do they not just allow us to get the court cases through? Blaine, you bring a great point, and thank you for listening. And we have people from all religions and backgrounds that watch this program, so thank you for that.
That's called America.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the beauty of our country, so thank you for that. I completely and totally agree that if the Supreme Court would have took up one of these cases, a lot of this pent-up frustration, I think, would have been diffused.
Yeah,
right?
They just wanted to be heard. That's it.
They just wanted to be heard. They wanted to feel as if the system was not just trying to have trapdoor after trapdoor mm-hmm. designed against them.
Yep.
Right? Let's go to it here. Hey, guys, I'm 15 years old. I go to public school. A lot of my friends have dropped me and hate me for being conservative and Catholic. One time I walked into school with a Catholic school sweatshirt and someone called me white privileged. I don't know what to do when these people say anything. Any advice? Are you guys seeing a pattern here?
Yeah.
What's happening in the country? Isabel.
I grew up in the Catholic Church. I went to Catholic high school. To suggest that being Catholic automatically means that you're white is the most ignorant argument I've heard all day. The Catholic Church is the largest institution in the world. So to suggest that everyone in the world is white because they happen to celebrate a particular religion is lazy, it's sloppy, and frankly just speaks to the tactics of the left, making everything about race and calling literally everything racist. Unfortunately, it's not surprising. So I wish that it was, but that is the playbook that we're seeing from the left lately, that they go after you guys for anything about yourself, what you're wearing, who you associate with, who you worship, and automatically call you a white supremacist, Nazi racist because of that. Hang in there. You're not the only one experiencing that. I know how hard that can be. Trust me. Yesterday, I was called white power Barbie. So, you know, we get these things all the time professionally for a living. But just remember that you're not alone and that there are people out there who support you, who've got your back, and who believe in the same things that you do.
Two enthusiastic thumbs up. That was awesome.
Very good. Okay, let's get to some more questions here. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Okay, do we have this video here? So as this video is going on, they are saying F Antifa. I'm not going to air that. We don't do that on this program. But just watch this video. That's what people are chanting while this is happening. Play tape. So it looks as if those guys do not look like Trump supporters. Bashing, and they're saying F Antifa. Just look at the way he's treating that flag. That does not look okay.
Mm-mm.
All right, so let me just tell you right now, the way that they are acting and gesturing does not strike me like Trump supporters.
No.
Does it?
I've never seen a conservative treat the flag that way.
All black, just the manners that they are bashing. They look like they are they're trying to cause trouble. And those guys, I think, are trying to get in the way of them. And he throws them out of the way. A lot of people watching, a lot of people telling them to stop. He came prepared with weapons, whoever this guy is.
Looks like a metal pipe of some
and look,
kind.
Oh, wow, a Trump supporter tries to stop him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, a Trump supporter. And they say, get out of the way. A Trump supporter tries to stop them, trying to say, this is not true. This is not true. Stop it. Look, that's a Trump supporter in real time screaming at him, saying, stop it. And he puts his arms on him, telling him to stop, saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Stop it. This other guy's getting right in his face. A confrontation ensues. These two black guys are not part of the Trump crowd at all.
And speaking black,
and now they start
the
chanting. All these people start chanting F Antifa, F Antifa, F Antifa. And so it looks like this continues on. Some people thought they were saying, stop Antifa, let's F Antifa, stop Antifa. We don't air swear words on this program. Mm-hmm. This person then flicks off the entire crowd.
Yeah.
Wow.
Doesn't look like they're with them.
So let's play that again, please. Bashing windows. All black. And pause. Is anyone else in the Trump crowd wearing all black like that except that guy with the goggles? You could stop. You could see who the agitator. Okay. Sorry. Can you go back? Just play it. If you look at the whole crowd span, you can see who the agitators are and who the Trump patriots are and like who the actual peaceful guys are.
Yep.
Those guys wearing those riot, those kind of those snowboarding goggles. You see those snowboarding goggles right near the kind of center right of that whole thing?
Yeah.
Those guys are there up to no good. These other guys that have these just Trump hats behind, they're there with flags. They're like, wait, what is going on here? Yeah. Right?
You can see literal exclamations of shock on people's faces throughout the crowd, too. They do not know what's going on here.
The mannerisms and how they are striking this door and how they are doing it looks exactly how Antifa acted in Portland and Seattle. Would you agree, Rob?
I'd agree. And the majority of the crowd, it doesn't look like they're storming the Bastille. You got two people.
Right.
And so
no consensus.
And then importantly, this other guy comes in and puts his body between the building and these agitators.
And it almost seems as though he's consoling him, like trying to, hey, this isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Trying
you
to
won't see
to
this
him.
On cable news, I guarantee you.
That right there with the flag totally looks Antifa, I just got to say. It reminds me of Portland. Right
and so let's do play the audio at the end. I'm told it says stop Antifa, if we can. And so I'm going to give a disclaimer that there might be a swear word. I hate doing this if there's a swear word. Everyone says that the audio is dramatic. So let's do that, please, with the audio. So it's my disclaimer. There might be a swear word here. I don't
prepare
like
yourself.
It with all the teenagers out there. Not that like you're not hearing it at high school. So
that's true.
That is not how Trump supporters act. Look at that. That looks like professional Antifa.
You see all these people looking around saying, what's going on? What's going on? They're pointing at these people, too. Right here, someone steps in, they put their body between.
So he's telling them to stop right there.
We need to get that guy out of the interview. The guy with the hat.
Find that guy with the hat. internet, find him.
With the backpack. And
seriously,
the blue,
that guy needs to be found. He's stopping these guys right there, telling them to stop, telling them to calm down.
If that's you, send us a picture of yourself. Show us your gear. Let's hear your story.
Yeah, they're saying F Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying F Antifa, but that's enough.
For a warning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But that's pretty chilling.
It is.
Gave me chills.
That does not look like the narrative that we have been told at all.
No.
It looks like Trump supporters trying to stop them from entering into the building.
Not even that they weren't affiliated with them, but actively trying to stop the agitators trying to enter the building, too. That's an important facet.
I think they were saying F Antifa or stop Antifa. It's actually irrelevant. I'm just trying not to, you know.
I got you.
Right.
But the point is that it's they're both saying, stop it.
Yes,
cut
stop.
It out.
Let's get to some questions here. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom@charliekirk.com.
There you go.
This is from the Nation. We've got someone. We've got an Estonian watcher or listener. Hi, Charlie. I'm Martin 17, sending lots of support from the lovely nation of Estonia. That's a Baltic state, right?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes Finland.
Oh, man.
It goes Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Someone fact check me on that.
I'm fact checking.
Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Is that right?
I have a dear friend whose daughter dances for either the Estonian or Lithuanian.
How good is my geography?
LA.
Oh, well done, Charlie. That's good.
I know my post-Soviet Baltic geography better than most.
Well done. Well done.
My question is, what can I, as a middle-class student from Europe, do to help you? Why aren't you still using voter ID in the United States? That's a great question.
Coming from a previously Soviet.
By the way, our Minister of Finance stands with the American people. Look, this is my piece of advice to every person watching around the world. Let your voice be heard. Tell people how you feel. Do it so thoughtfully and rationally. And the more you learn, the more you'll know how to act. You'll be able to respond to all their arguments. You'll know what they say before they say it. It's so critically important. It really, really is.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever spent time in Estonia? You've been to Russia.
I've been to Russia. I've been to Ukraine, but I haven't been to Estonia or Latvia or Lithuania.
All of it. Continue to email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Also, I want to thank our supporters here at charliekirk.com/support. We've been doing this live stream longer than usual because I can feel the tension in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to help give people answers and some comfort.
Charlie, people need this. I've received so many texts of folks that are so appreciative of this because there's clarity. I mean, you're not out there, you know, reacting to every single Instagram post that has some nut putting out some conspiracy idea. You're digging into it. You're showing them stuff, and it's so helpful.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
So there are more people asking us to play that video again, and we are going to in just a second. But I want to get to this question here because I think that video in some ways is a narrative game changer, to be honest with you.
It is.
Hi, Mr. Kirk. I'm a 21-year-old from Connecticut. I'm trying to avoid college while looking for a career in tech. But it seems every job requires either college degree or prior experience. And every internship is only for college students. As someone who found his career without college, do you have any advice on what I could do? Do I apply to these jobs regardless? How do I do this? Rob, do you want to weigh in on this a little bit?
Well, I love what you said. You go to a person and say, I'll work for you.
Yep.
Give them that narrative because that is a great.
So, yeah, look, here I could tell you this from personal experience. So, Edwin, thank you for your question. In Connecticut, you had a tough battle there. I could tell you that much. Find someone who is in this field you want to get into.
Yep.
Go to them and say, I will do anything you ask of me for free, and I want to just learn everything I possibly can from you. You might say, how do I find that person? Get scrappy, get hustle, and get creative is what I'm trying to say. Get scrappy, hustle, and get creative. Find that person and just say, I'll work for free. I'll do anything you ask of me, right?
There's a friend of mine whose name will remain anonymous who dropped out of high school at 15 years of age, started one of the largest businesses in the country and is worth quite a bit of money. And his comment was, no man would stand in the way of me pursuing what it was I wanted to do. I'd just go around him. I'd figure out how to do it. And those folks aren't going to be roadblocks. You need to be creative. And when he would sit down and describe, without a high school education, you know, raised in West Texas.
Yeah.
And to see what he did, going up against some of the greatest corporations in America and still overcoming it, I would say to that individual, no one stands in your way. Just figure out. And Charlie, that advice too, going in and saying, I'll work for free. That'll work.
Amen.
The worst anyone can say is no. That's the best advice I've ever been given. And frankly, that's how I got this job with Turning Point USA. I asked. This was before we really had a contributor program, before we had the infrastructure for what we're doing now. And obviously, I had worked at the organization quite a bit on my college campus, but I had an idea. And so I started asking around. And the worst anyone can ever tell you is, wait a few months. It's not the right time. Maybe not right now, but we'll consider it in the future. If you get scrappy, you get tough, you don't give up, people will see that in you.
Go ahead.
When I told you about my son, and you said, look, the worst case scenario, he'll be here a year, doesn't do well, but he's going to be debt free, and he'll learn experience.
He'll get a little bit of money, and you know,
I thought it was brilliant.
And he's gotten skills, and he's seen a lot of things.
Yeah,
I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
Let's get that video back on screen. Some people are saying that the F Antifa chant is a Proud Boys chant. I mean, that's kind of like saying the English language is, you know, I mean, that's not exactly. It could be. I stand open-minded on that, but I'm not convinced that is compelling evidence when you have a group of people. I mean, I would chant that. I didn't know that was one of their chants. So that's, you know, not exactly a fan of
Antifa.
I didn't
know they'd put a lexicon together of.
Those aren't exactly unique words. Yeah. You know, if it was something else. Or something.
Will I find that in the library, that book?
So let's go to this video again, please, which just the behavior and the way they were acting in this video is so uncharacteristic of Trump supporters and just anything we've ever seen.
Yeah.
But just the mannerisms and the way that they were bashing the window and the way that they were just taking kind of whatever they possibly had with hammers with them. That's not anything that I've ever seen at any Trump rally ever before, ever. Can we play that tape again, please? And then you see a Trump supporter trying to tell them to stop. Play tape here. So you have two guys in all black that start bashing. I'd love to see what happened before this. He took some form of a flag, and you could see they're dressed uncharacteristically than the rest of the crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting to bash. A lot of people – some people are cheering him on in the crowd. Most people are shell-shocked.
Right.
Right? Banging on there. Man, they are really going to work on this window. And then he takes the flag, and they're trying to tell him to stop. This guy does.
Mm-hmm. He comes in right here.
And he tells him to stop. He's left without his weapon. Did he take out a knife? Oh, no, that's his hand. And he then flicks off. Now
One woman right there.
That woman lady. Tries to get into him and tell, stop, stop. You're hurting this for all of us. This guy says, you don't know what's happening here.
It almost looks like she took his flag, did she?
Yeah, and then this guy tries to explain away what's happening here. Telling them to stop, trying to console them. That person wants nothing to do with it. Nothing. Screaming is what it looks like, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And then this person flicks off the entire crowd. The crowd looks completely differently dressed.
You can imagine that this guy with the hat is probably saying, the president said be peaceful, we're here to be peaceful, I'm patting you on the shoulder.
Flicking off the entire crowd.
Don't we say flip? I don't know.
That's all right.
Same thing.
I was taken from the Proud Boys lexicon. So.
That changes the entire narrative.
I would say so. Continue to email us our questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's go here to... Some people are saying they found the guy who was consoling them. We're going to reach out. We're going to make sure that's the right guy here.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy has a video that he posted right here. We'll see. There's going to be a lot more footage coming through as this happens in real time. Let's get to this question here. It's a good question here, Isabel. My name is Charlie. How do I discern what is factual and not? This is Bo from Mississippi.
Well, first of all, truth has a ring to it. Don't forget that. We always forget that. But if something feels off, you probably know it's not the truth. It's not factual. It's unfortunate because today in modern history, there's not really a lot of places you can go to find just facts and information and statistics and data and evidence without any sort of opinion associated with it.
Yep.
Frankly, I would say nowhere in the mainstream media does that exist in 2021.
Tragically.
Small plug, we are working on something like that at Turning Point USA that you're going to be hearing about next week. And that's all I can really say about that.
So, Rob, how do you discern truth from fiction? Check your sources.
Yeah, check your sources, and truth will be corroborated. And so when you check your sources and you separate it, you've got to go to the original source. You've got to see the content and make sure that it's legitimate. Because so many people, as a minister, especially one who's taken a stand, they send me everything. And I finally just said from the pulpit, don't send me anything you haven't checked first. Go to the original source. Show me before you send it to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to operate by emotion. Give me facts. Test them.
And we do know that a guy from Utah who was a BLM activist, he was inside the house, the Capitol. He said he was just documenting the riots, but once he did say he wanted to burn it down. That is verified from Fox News.
I've heard that this individual was the person who took the video footage of the young woman being shot. We identified some of that.
Yeah.
He was actually interviewed on CNN last night or the night before. Of course, he wasn't asked why he was in the building, but I do find that very interesting that we're clearly getting information on who some of these people are and interviewing them and making sure we understand more of the story. But at least some of them are not overt Trump supporters, and that is important to note.
Okay, just responding to some emails here. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's go right here. This is a good one. Hi, Charlie. I'm a combat veteran from California. I'm going to college to become a history professor at college so I can help with the brainwashing.
Amen for you. Thank you.
This is a great. I'm not saying we should go to a civil war. I know the horrors of war, but I am ready to step up and protect the American people. I swore an oath. I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Thomas Jefferson said the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the bloods of patriots and tyrants. So my question is, where do we go from here if things turn violent?
Well, I would say to that combat veteran,
first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. But I'd also say because you know the horrors of war, that is for all of us a last resort, one that we hope would never occur. Excuse me. But I love what he's doing. He's using his brain. He's finding solutions. He's educating himself. He wants to educate others. That's the path. It's a longer path, but like I've been saying on this program, any jackass can knock down a barn door. Only a carpenter can build one. He's pursuing the realm of a carpenter. That's what I'd say to all of us. Be patient. Don't be anxious. Operate with wisdom. Operate with prudence and find a solution because, as he said, you do not want to see bloodshed. That is the last thing, and God forbid it ever happen, to occur.
Yeah,
we're going to go here. Zachary Fresquez. Hi, Charlie. My name is Zachary. I'm currently in my AP U.S. history class listening to your show, and my teacher is very liberal. You are going to learn more from us than from her. It's good use of time.
Amen.
Well, first of all, thank you to the teacher for allowing – he's listening from
– Yeah.
Is a teacher listening to this?
No.
I doubt the teacher is.
Oh, I got you. She just told us that we'll be discussing the insurrection, and she even compared some of the Trump supporters to men in the South during the civil rights period. I plan to stand up and respectfully say something. How do I do this, and what is a good argument to use? So let me help you in your class in real time. First of all, say that there were a lot of mixture of people that were there, and a lot of those people were not part of the 74 million Trump voters that voted in November. Mm-hmm. Number two, no one condoned, supported, or got behind what happened there. That you can judge a movement based on how the leaders react to it. And number three, just ask a very, very simple question of, will there now be a massive indictment, not literally, of anyone who's a conservative, of guilt by association? And that's exactly what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so demand nuance from your teacher. Your goal, remember, everything you should be doing is a goal in mind. Demand to get your teacher to admit that that is not representative of the conservative movement or the Trump movement.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I fully agree.
Okay. Thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. We are on top of this in real time. If you guys want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, take out your podcast provider, type in the Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe. Rob, any closing thoughts?
Well, keep this up, Charlie, because America needs clarity. They need understanding. With wisdom dispels and facts and truth dispel fear. And a lot of folks are afraid right now.
Amen.
Tune into this. Find not only Charlie's podcast but others that do this homework, this real-time homework to analyze and look at so that you can have a rational approach to this instead of operating solely on your fears. Let those dispel by facts. And Charlie and Isabel, thank you guys. You have no idea what it means to me as a minister in the state of California with the folks I'm dealing with. You guys are a tremendous blessing.
Please go to tpusa.com/get involved if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, which you all should do. Please email us your questions in real time. We're going to be back very soon. We're on top of it. Hardest working podcast in the country. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.